much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, everybody, who's ready to laugh? Yeah. I can't hear you. That's not true, of course, but cheer louder. Yeah. Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Three people dead. Police in Nebraska say a rental truck carrying two people lost control, crossed the median, and collided head-on with a semi-truck. Both trucks burst into flames, and witnesses say there were several explosions. Excuse me. The two people in the rental truck and the driver of the semi. This is a sad story, excuse me, were killed. Crews said they had fires contained in about 10 minutes.
And now.
You're all here, even the young people. Hashtag.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 7th of October. Hang on.
Hold Rocktober.
Hold.
Hold, please.
It's the 7th of Rocktober.
I knew that I couldn't say anything. We had just had to wait for it.
Yeah.
Because you can't say Rocktober without the sound. Right. The R word. Hey, what is it? Tuesday already? Man, this week is flying by.
Sure is.
Woo! Tuesday. Yes. Here's a story to get us started before we get in today's excellent new Kevin and Bean show. And this is especially good for you, Muggs. I assume you have no penis, right, Bierman?
Hey, whoa. Watch yourself. Yes, I do.
Team of scientists say they are getting ready. They plan to implant lab-grown penises onto human volunteers within the next 5 years.
Why would you volunteer
That's
for that?
Weird.
Because you don't have a penis, because you lost yours due to an accident or cancer treatment or injury or birth defect or something like that. And it'd be pretty awesome if you could get a new lab-grown penis.
Now, if it's lab-grown, does that mean that they're completely in charge of the dimensions? Of said that's a unit?
That's a great question. Are they made to order?
Right, because then you don't really need to get – maybe you pay more for a bigger one.
Right.
Penis.
Right.
That's a great – it's funny, Kevin. I didn't even think about that. But sure, why the heck not,
right? Not sure why I did.
This is the team at the Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine in North Carolina, and they have previously made vaginas in a lab and tested it in human patients and have had some success there. They have also grown urethras before, but man-made penises will be grown from samples of the patient's own cells, which means they require a biopsy from an existing penis. So you are going to need some penis to begin. You're going to have some tissue to work with. Doctors take biopsies from the patients, and they coax the biopsied cells to multiply in a petri dish. And then the tissues are applied on a collagen scaffolding, which comes from a deceased organ donor. So now it also sounds like you need somebody else's penis to build yours around, to grow yours on top of.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're building anything. They need part of yours. They need part of somebody else's.
Well, they're taking cells out of yours, and then they're growing them and making them expand. So the plan is that patients get a real live organ that their immune systems won't reject. And that's the key. That's why you can't just do a penis transplant, because your body will reject it. So that's why you want to have a bunch of your own cells in there. So your body says, oh, yeah, that's mine. They don't know yet how successful the organs are going to be, if they're going to, allow erections, or you're going to be able to use them to father children or not. But they have done studies. And the reason they're getting close to trying this in humans is they've done studies with rabbits. They transplanted lab-grown penises onto 12 male rabbits. All 12 of them tried to mate when placed in cages with females.
All right.
8 of them were able to have sex.
All right.
4 of them fathered baby bunnies.
Wow. All right.
That's impressive.
So that's a pretty successful trial, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
So it's more complicated to do the penis for the human than it is for the rabbit. And I thought this was fascinating. Imagine if this is your job, is trying out the new lab-grown penises. The teams are assessing the structures for safety and effectiveness. One machine squashes, stretches, and twists the penises to make sure they can stand up to the wear of everyday life. And another one pumps fluid into them to test erections.
Whose everyday life has their penis being twisted?
Well, I mean, when
that's
you
weird.
When you think about it, it does require a certain elasticity. You don't want to be involved in a situation where it's going to get stuck or it's going to break or something bad's going to happen to it. It's got to, you know, there is normal wear and tear, and especially if it is if this is as effective as they hope, and you are able to use it for actual sex.
Will you have feeling in it?
I mean, I guess these are all things we're going to find out, but I would assume so. I mean, why else would the bunnies try to have sex if it didn't feel good?
Well, because they're bunnies and they do that.
Yeah. So anyway, Muggs, you can just hang on for another 2 years. It sounds like they're working on your problem.
I have a penis.
So what? Right, but we mean working. So so one of the things is they're trying to get your body to not reject it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they working also on being able to get girls to not reject it?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know how Frankenstein-like this thing's going to end up being because you've got dead guys' base over there, and then you've got whatever they've grown off of you over here, and then they got it all stretched out and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how pretty it's going to be, if that's what your question is. But I think this is – I mean, look, and I always say this. I'm sad we're alive today and not 500 years in the future, because imagine how much of this stuff is going to be possible and happening. I mean, I fully believe with all my heart that you're going to be able to go down to the new arm store if you lose one. You know what I mean? They're just going to plop a new one on for you.
Is this going to be in the mall?
I think wherever it is.
But I think Forever 21?
That's where we're headed, I think. And this is this is just another step along that road. So I think it's – very exciting medical news today.
You just walk up, you knock on the door, and you say,
penis, penis, penis.
They let you in. You've said three times just like that, though.
And then you turn on your heels and click them.
That's correct, yes. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know how to break it to you, but I'm not convinced that you two are going to make the journey.
Stephen Brandon will be in the studio today talking about a musical, and we don't cover a lot of musicals.
Hardly any.
But this one is named Lost, the musical.
Yeah.
Based on the TV show Lost.
Pretty cool.
I wonder if they
wrote
an ending.
Not sure if it's pretty cool yet.
Yeah. I wonder if they wrote an ending for this musical.
What the hell is a smoke monster? Can't imagine this entire thing.
I would like to see it, by the way.
That's what I.
I won't go, but I would like to.
Same. Exactly. Meghan McCain will be here. This is John McCain's...
Daughter,
granddaughter, yeah. I don't know.
Daughter,
talking about a new TV show that she's on. Mm-hmm. She's fascinating. We've had her in before.
Yes, she is. She's a very, very bright young lady.
Michael Schneider will be here talking about Twin Peaks coming back to TV.
Oh,
and also other events going on with fall TV. It's hard to keep up now that everything that's, you know, coming back immediately. Like, holy cow, last night I had to record the last two that I missed already.
Me too.
And then reset it so that you can do it. So that's coming up today. Virgins, what's up? That's today. I think that's what we're calling it. Mm-hmm. And Billy Idol is going to be on the show today.
That's impressive.
Billy Mother Effin' Idol has an autobiography called Dancing with Myself. And I think he's lucky to be alive.
He's absolutely
lucky to be alive.
And he looks better than both Bean and I, even though he's lucky to be alive. So
definitely.
That's effed up. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat when we get back.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
And moving on.
It doesn't matter.
Not important.
That's the best. You've won a golden pylon, right?
Many, actually.
For that kind of reporting. Hey, Ralph is out. He's filming, as we've mentioned a couple times. Ted, too. We are filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Got a special guest joining us next hour, but for the meantime, it's us. What the hell is going on? Why is it 1989 all over again? Yesterday, we were talking about how Twin Peaks is coming back to television in 2016 on Showtime. Then last night, the announcement came from NBC that they are turning the motion picture, also from 1989, Say Anything, into a television series.
Huh.
Do you guys remember the movie Say Anything?
I remember
sort of.
A dude with a soundbox on his shoulder?
Yes, it has one of the most iconic scenes in romantic comedy history of John Cusack standing out in front of Ione Skye's character's apartment, and yep. he's holding up the boombox and playing Peter Gabriel In Your Eyes. But beyond that, it was a very, very good movie. Cameron Crowe made the film way back when. Cameron Crowe did not know anything about this, by the way.
Oh, good.
Here's his tweet regarding the announcement of a Say Anything TV show. John Cusack, Ione Skye, and I have no involvement except in trying to stop it. John Cusack tweeted, "No end to the exploitation of other people's sincere efforts in shameless slime. No imagination for new ideas." And I have a question for you guys. I mean, I hold that movie and you know, with a fond memory as well. It was a good movie, but it's just a romantic comedy. Like, what's the advantage of calling this Say Anything when it's really just a story about a guy and a girl, right? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times
there's nothing unique about it.
A lot of times they hope to get some kind of great feeling from that title, but I wouldn't imagine the younger people that they're trying to go after. I'm not familiar with that movie.
Like, you know, the TV show About a Boy, which is sort of based on the movie, but doesn't have any of the original people in
right.
it.
Right.
But that wasn't as old as this movie is by far.
Yep,
so there were a lot of people
true.
Who were familiar with it.
Hmm. But I mean, I guess you're right. I guess that didn't have a very unique storyline, but at least it had something that it was a single mom. You know, I mean, I don't know. This to me, they say it's going to pick up 10 years afterwards, where Lloyd Dobler has long since been dumped by Diane, and life hasn't turned out how he thought. I mean, how is that different from any other sitcom that goes on the air?
It's going to be funny.
One fan of the original movie, I assume, tweeted yesterday, "I don't care about reboots or sequels. Everyone has a right to retell stories. But if there's a TV sequel to Say Anything, I'll burn the world." So,
all right.
Not a lot of tremendous excitement out of that news from NBC. But it's just weird to have Twin Peaks come back yesterday, we're told, and Say Anything today. And I know that, you know, we've long said, as many have, is Hollywood out of yeah. ideas, but this is some crazy recycling going on.
Happy Days coming up next. You don't know the name Craig Mandel, but he is a guy who has crowdsourced funds in order to make sure that Nickelback does not perform in London.
Can he do that?
I don't know.
So wait, crowdsourcing funds meaning he's going to raise the money to give to Nickelback? To make up for what they would have made by performing a concert?
No, there's four donation packages ranging from $1 to $50. Mandel promises to send a letter on your behalf to the band's management. So they're not trying to, you know, buy him out to make sure they don't come. They just want to make sure that their discomfort and their anger is shown.
So this is a way of saying you're not welcome, basically. Let's get the word to
right.
the band and their management that they are not welcome in London.
If you send a tiny amount of money, they will send a kindly worded note. If you send a lot of money, they will put it full of expletives. Now, here's
weird part. Somebody's charging to write strongly worded letters?
Yes.
Why don't I have this job?
Here's the weird part. This is the part that I just found out today. Nickelback currently has no performances scheduled in London. It's not like there's a show that's coming up that he's trying to stop. There's no show planned.
This seems suspect.
It does, right?
It does. It definitely does.
I've never heard of anything like this before. And he's trying to not only stop them from performing, but also calling in any way. They are not allowed to use the phone to speak to anyone in London. This guy seems like he might hate Nickelback too much.
Yeah, this sounds to me like a guy who's figured out a way to make money
yes.
based on the cartoon hate that the internet has for Nickelback
yes.
is what it sounds like to me. This reminds me of that story a few years ago, remember, when that guy, I think he was in Seattle, who was trying to raise $10 million to get Weezer to break up and go away, remember?
Right, yep.
And the
yep.
band said they if it, it wasn't quite enough, but if it had been a little bit more, they would have considered it.
Thought about it.
Because he was just so sad that Weezer was his favorite band and he didn't like their latest records. So he wanted them to go away forever, which I thought was very funny. Let me see. One more story for me before we take a break, and that is I don't fully understand some of the traditions that are around weddings, including the wedding gift that the bride and the groom give to one another. It seems to me like the marriage maybe ought to be the takeaway for that day, but there is a tradition of giving a gift as well.
But like it's not enough that you're promising your life to them?
Right. Usually, Lisa, isn't it jewelry? Isn't that usually the gift, at least, that the husband gives to the wife is some sort of a wedding
yeah.
gift jewelry thing? Well, according to reports in Britain, George Clooney just bought his new bride, Amal Amadan, a house as a wedding gift. It's an $8 million mansion in the English countryside. It features a spa complex, movie theaters, and two separate cottages for guests.
Wow.
Nice.
So that's how her married life is going in the first week, is that she has woken up and has been a Mrs. George Clooney and getting married in a, you know, private villa in Italy, and B, now she's got a new $8 million house with its own movie theater in the English countryside. That's the direction that her life is going right
she's
now.
She's got her own. I mean, I wonder if that's just George going, all right, here's how to make a marriage work. You have your own house. I have my own house. We'll meet every once in a while when we miss each other.
Right. Mine's in Italy. Yours right. is in England, but we can get together in Barcelona and have sex once a week. Today's celebrity birthdays. Talk show host Joy Behar is 72. I don't think she's on The View anymore. I think she's one of the ones who's gone, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
singer John Mellencamp turns 63 today. Simon Cowell from The X Factor and American Idol turns 55. Singer Toni Braxton, 47 today. Tom York from Radiohead, who just 2 weeks ago surprised the world with a new solo album available on BitTorrent. He is 46 years old today. Our friend comedian Tim Minchin turns 39 today, and that's the Showbiz Beat on K-Rock.
It's coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to want to talk to you if you're virgin.
Yes.
Because we had a conversation yesterday in the office after the show, and that was, how does that work with dating? Do you have to tell them right up front? Do you wear a shirt on the fourth date? Yeah. Maybe something like a hat? I don't know. How do you
only meet people at church?
Yes. How exactly does that work? And does it ruin dating for you because you can't find a guy outside of maybe church or somebody
right.
who shares your religion? So that's coming up this morning. It is 7 minutes after 6 o'clock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the
Woo!
A little late.
Sorry.
A little late. Kevin and Bean Show at 6:22. By the way, Weezer comes out today, the new album. I forgot to mention that.
Yes, it does.
Showbiz. Listen to K-Rock all week. Score a pair of Fast Fright passes to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor and skip the line for all of the mazes. Congratulations to Mike Vasquez from Orange, who just won those tickets.
Ooh, fun.
Your chance to win coming up.
Southern California has to be the best place in America at Halloween time for having the most options for cool stuff to do.
No question.
Night with all of the theme parks and everything. It's just amazing how good they are. All right. Great show coming up, including Meghan McCain on the program from Pivot TV. Also, we'll talk to Billy Idol as well. That's coming up. I thought this was a fascinating article that I saw. I want to say this was on maybe it was on Salon.com, I think. Her name is Ellen Burkhart. And she is 26 years old, I think, and she is a writer, and she is a virgin. And she wrote an article about that. And this is a topic that we haven't talked about much on our show, but I am always fascinated to think about what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes. If you're a 26-year-old woman in the dating pool and you have committed yourself to waiting until marriage for sex, what's that like for you? How tough are those waters to navigate?
I imagine most of the people that make that decision do it on religious grounds, right? Religious people?
I would imagine so, yes. And that is her case is she says that she is a Christian, not a Bible-thumping, the world is going to hell in a handbasket Christian, but a sexually conservative, Bible-believing, traditionally raised Minnesota Lutheran girl who was taught that sex is for marriage, and that's that. So that is where she is coming from. But the opening lines of the piece really caught my attention because she says, there's no good time to tell a guy that you're a virgin. First date, too much too soon. Wait until the third date and you risk being considered a tease. Second date, perhaps, but at that point you're both still fretting over whether or not to eat another piece of bread. Delving into sexual histories or lack thereof seems a bit extreme. There's no good time to tell a guy that you're a virgin, and even worse is telling him that you're waiting until marriage.
Yeah, hey, A, I'm a virgin. B, I'm going to remain a virgin until I get married.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that is kind of a – look, when you first start going out with somebody and you're in that second date, third date phase, if it's gotten to that point, I think a lot of times you're thinking about what's the potential of this relationship for the future. Is this going to be something that even if it's not a forever thing, is this going to be somebody who could develop into, you know, a boyfriend-girlfriend type situation?
How far might it go?
Right. And I would think that for most guys, that would be the same as, hey, I'm breaking up with you, right?
What
do you think that most guys
– if you say to a guy –
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to stay a virgin until I'm married.
Yeah.
Until I'm married, right. By the way, I would be fascinated to hear from – women who are listening who are in this writer's shoes. If you are a woman in your, you know, 20s or 30s and you have decided to remain a virgin, I'd be curious to know how difficult it is to date in 2014.
And at what point did you decide that that needed to be shared? Because you really do sort of have to tell them.
I'd also like to hear from women who were virgins until they got married.
All right.
That's interesting, too.
And I'd like to talk to guys who've been told that.
Yeah,
and
they did.
And does that – so the guy's response is one of two. See ya is right. One, and the other is, will you marry me? That's the second one.
Lisa, I'm glad you brought that up about – let's hear also from women who remained virgins until they got married, because I would imagine that one of the consequences of that decision is hearing from so many people – it's a huge mistake. Don't do that because you don't want to find out that you are married to someone that you are sexually incompatible with. I mean, that's what a lot of people say is, hey, you want to find out whether you guys are a good fit before you decide to get married.
Well, and when you've never had sex with someone, you don't know what a good fit is. I mean, I feel like I had a journey in my single years of figuring out even what it was that I wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that took multiple people to get there. So
that makes a lot of sense.
I'm so fascinated by what the sex life is of someone who actually did wait until they got married. And the only way you'd really be able to compare it is if they got divorced and then married somebody else.
Yeah, true.
Right. Exactly, yeah. A woman that we're talking about, by the way, this writer, she says she's 26 years old. She has a college degree, a good job, an adorable duplex. She has no debt. I have a solid group of friends, a supportive family, and a clear awareness of who I am and what I want to be. By all accounts, I am a successful human being. Yet the moment that I have to tell the guy that I'm dating that sex is not an option, I become a squirmy, awkward, fidgety girl who can't make eye contact or put together a complete sentence.
I can understand that. That seems because you're trying to tell somebody something that's going to push them away, and you don't want that
yes.
to happen.
Right.
By the way, as she describes herself, you look at her and you go, wow, this chick is an awesome catch. I mean, who
right.
wouldn't want to date her? Oh, wait, no sex? Sorry. So we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what your experiences are with this. If you are a woman who has decided to remain a virgin until marriage, what's that like to navigate? If you're a woman who did that and did wait until you got married, how's that been for you? And what kind of situations have we heard from the guys who have been in this situation as well? She, by the way, I mean, she doesn't waver, except she's, you know, she does get horny, you know. I mean, she does make out with guys and would like to take it further, but whatever it is, you know, she's got that, that barrier that stops her from going on. She says, yeah, she's frustrated. She's not anti-sex at all. She hears great things about it and she's looking forward to it.
Right.
She just wants to wait.
And where do you draw the line? Like, do you do other things?
Oh,
that's a great
a
question, too.
You know what I mean? Like, what exactly will you do?
Right.
And what won't you do?
Yes. I imagine that that's a whole set of conditions that you've got to make those decisions about what's considered sex and what's not. Because if it's everything but, that's probably doable for a lot of people.
But, you know, from a guy's point of view, it's
yeah.
more than just he's horny and he wants to have sex.
Right.
It's what if he gets married to her and then she figures out she doesn't really like sex.
Well,
there's
a danger.
No guarantee.
That's a given, by the way, for all men.
All right, let's take one call before the break, and then we'll come back with more. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Chris. She is on line one, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, appreciate you being up so early. Appreciate you listening and calling. What's going on, my dear?
Hey, I got married when I was 21, met the guy in church, thinking mm-hmm. everything was going to go good. Both of us, well, I know for sure I was a virgin. He claimed that he was as well.
Right.
Pretty much ended up being really bad, you know, abusive.
That's a whole
really
different
bad, completely. Like,
group
and then
of problems.
He lied. Yeah, definitely.
But wait, Chris, let me ask you a question because we didn't consider this. Is that you, I imagine most people who don't have sex till they get married younger.
Yeah.
Than most people.
I had cousins.
Yeah, 21's a lot younger than most people get married. That's
Look,
for sure.
I know I'm 15, but come on now.
28 now.
All right. Yeah.
Right, but you were 21, which is still pretty young to get married. So
yeah.
You said he told you he was a virgin. Did you find out afterwards that he wasn't, that he had lied to you about that?
Well, I heard a lot of rumors from a lot of different people in the church and stuff. So pretty much, yeah.
Did he have moves, Chris? Is that how you knew?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. So,
well,
how was
bad and bad?
I have this question for you, Chris. So you built this up in your mind, I am going to remain a virgin until I get married.
Yeah.
And then were you ultimately disappointed with the sex in the marriage, or did it live up to what you had hoped it would be when you were dreaming leading up to it?
Definitely not.
Which one?
Did not live up to it.
It was disappointing.
Disappointing.
But it sounds like you guys ended up breaking up just because he was a bad dude. It didn't have anything to do with the sex thing. Did you ultimately become compatible?
No, I actually divorced this year.
Wow, all right. Yeah. So just okay. So let me just summarize. It started bad.
Got
then,
worse.
Then in the middle it was worse, and then it just ended.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. USA. USA.
Yeah.
Chris, appreciate the call. Thanks so
You're
much.
Welcome.
Samantha, you hung on. Hang on. We're going to get to you next and everybody else, too. 1-800-520-1067. Adventures in Virginity on this edition of the Kevin DeBeat Show. Salon.com has the piece, Dating is Hard, Especially When You're a 26-Year-Old Woman Who Wants to Save Sex Until Marriage. Fascinating article written by a young writer in Minneapolis named Ellen Burkhart. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 about what it's like being in her shoes, being that woman who's a virgin, saving it till marriage. Is it worth it? Is it a good idea? Is it tough to date? Of course, here's what I know about it.
I'll give you the same advice my father gave me the night I lost my virginity. Just pick one. They all cost the same.
I mean, that's really all you need to know.
Right.
Let's talk to Samantha. She's been holding on line three. Find out what her story is. Hi, Samantha. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Samantha.
So I used to use that to get rid of guys.
Oh, you mean you used to tell them that you were saving your virginity for marriage because that would run guys off?
Exactly.
But it wasn't true?
No. It definitely was very true.
It was true. Okay, so what if you liked a guy?
Because of faith and other reasons, I didn't have that problem because I was always focused on marrying someone who shared the same beliefs as I did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't look outside for that.
Right.
Someone would talk to you or hit on you or whatever, but I would just ignore it. And he was one of them. My husband was one of those.
That you ignored when he hit on you.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. So I was at a bar, at a lounge, and he hit me up, and I was not interested. He wasn't my style, nothing. I had no attraction towards him.
Excellent.
And, I'm sorry?
I said excellent. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so then he was just very nice, and I'm not the type of person who, takes drinks and then says, okay, later days. I thought, well, maybe we can be friends, and so he was very persistent, and the conversation evolved, and I ended up telling him, this is my faith, and I don't have sex before marriage, and he was like, he wasn't for it, but he was okay with it.
He wasn't for it. He wasn't all jumping right up and down.
Wasn't no, the best news all. He heard all year. All right, Samantha, we have limited time. We have some other calls we want to get to, but let me ask. So you kept it up, and you were how old when you guys got married?
33. It was 2 years ago.
And, wow. And how's it going?
It's the best thing ever. I don't know how I waited so long.
All right, so the sex turned out to be worth the wait. You don't have any regrets about waiting until you were 33?
Not at all.
All right.
No,
okay,
I don't.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm glad you're happy. Good appreciate the call. Thanks so much. All right, let's go to Lily Carson, line four.
Hi, Lily Carson. How are you?
No,
hey,
Lily
guys.
In Carson.
Hey,
Carson's the city.
Hi,
hi, Lily. What's going on? You've been hearing the story. We've been talking to predominantly women who decided to wait until marriage. How difficult is that to do?
Oh, it was super hard, especially when you're making out with a guy. Oh, it's the hardest thing ever.
Yeah.
But
how long did you wait to tell most guys?
Usually by the second date because here in L.A., all the guys are just looking to get lucky. So you might as well put it out there as soon as possible.
And what was their reaction most of the time?
They would never call me back.
See ya.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. They would never call back, and that's it. It would just leave it at that, and that's how it always was. So
wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
So where are you now in the process? Are you married now?
Now I'm married, yes. I've been happily married now for 3 years, and I don't regret waiting. My husband wasn't a virgin, so I think that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
sex is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. We're talking to some very happy, happy ladies this morning, aren't we?
Men who weren't virgins.
I'm glad for you, sad girl.
Greatest thing ever, seriously.
All right, let me ask you, let me throw a throwback to a point that Kevin brought up earlier, and that is when you and your husband, and then, you know, at one point you guys were fiancés and you knew you were getting close, you started, you know, you were fooling around and stuff. If you can say it radio friendly, how far would you go short of having sex? Was it everything but? No pun intended?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Everything but. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Celia one more. How about that? She's on line 7.
All right. Hi, Celia.
Good morning.
Hi.
I married my husband. We dated for 11 years, and we waited till we got married.
Wait.
Wow.
What? Wait. Hold
what?
On.
What?
Just a minute.
What?
Pump the brakes. Slow down. You dated a dude for 11 years and didn't have sex.
Yes.
Didn't have sex.
Part of that was in high school.
Right.
But just like the last caller. Everything but.
Everything but. And we're not saying the word but as
but
in a body
two T's,
part.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But he, for 11 years, was he a virgin when you guys got married?
Yes.
That is wow. Almost hard to believe. How, if you're dating for 11 years and you're not having sex, how at year, I don't know, 4 or 5, didn't he say, this is BS, let's get married?
Right, right. We did feel the pressures of our faith to try to wait, and we did wait. But once we actually got married and had sex, it was like, oh, that was it. That's it. That's what we're waiting for. And we realized that we could have, we loved each other. We knew we were going to be together. We could have done that earlier and been happy. Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. So you look back on it and say, eh, it wasn't worth waiting?
I even though I'm a Christian, I say if you're in love with somebody and you really trust them, you can have sex before you're married.
Yeah, you spend an awful lot of time and anxiety avoiding intercourse to find out afterwards, right. Well, we still would have gotten married and we still would have been together, so what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Exactly. All right. Fantastic, Celia. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Well, this was I'm sorry we're out of time because this is a fascinating look. I think it's got to be a pretty small percentage of people, right?
Yeah, and yeah. It's a tough enough gig finding somebody and going on dates with them, let alone having to tell them you're not going to have sex
on,
until
they
get married.
So thank you for the calls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. Our old friend Anel Rivers, perhaps our first ever African-American listener, filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat this hour. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, for the record, I am black, man. I am not African-American, okay? I couldn't even tell you what part of Africa my family comes from, y'all.
All right. I'm sorry to insult. No offense intended
Hey,
there.
Man, I am black and proud, brother. Hey, well, good morning, folks. How y'all doing?
We are good.
That's good.
Good to see you, man.
Thank you, man. Good to be seen, man. You know, I've been laying low-key, man, making babies and whatnot.
Sure.
You know, coaching sports, all that kind of good stuff. But I'm back, man. Back better than ever.
Back and ready for the Showbiz Beat.
Yes, sir.
Normally, this is the sound effect. Normally, we do that between stories.
Yeah, but you know, I don't dig the cameras, man. You know, I'm from the hood. We don't get out like that, bruh.
Anel insists on this, on Bean, at this sound effect. And by the way, this is Bean.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Girl, holla! That is actually my ringtone. I can't tell you how awesome. Like every time my phone calls, I get a little piece of Bean taken with me.
So every time you hear that.
I will never live that down.
Every time you hear that, that's the beginning of a new story. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Anel.
Thank you. Obama is coming.
Which roads is he getting
Obama
closed down now?
Coming.
That's all I need
man,
to know.
Man, that is my whole take, man.
Where to stay away.
You know, Dr. King had a dream, and I don't know that this was part of it, because I can't get any damn place in town when this black man decides he wants to go rolling. What's the deal? Why can't he take a helicopter? You know what I'm saying? You got Commander Chuck Street and Kevin Takumi and all these type of cats flying around L.A. all day.
I don't know.
This dude wants to take Sunset. You know what I'm saying? To go anywhere. Like, hey, Obama, I'm going to let you know right now, bro. You can take Fountain all the way across town, okay, and just shut down.
And by the way, Nell, it's even worse than the president. The freaking vice president is in town today. And where is it in Santa Monica? They're saying just avoid Santa Monica for 2 hours during morning drive rush hour. It's insane.
Ain't nobody trying to kill Joe Biden.
Exactly. That's my point.
You know what I'm saying? That's the one person you don't need any security for. You know what I'm saying? He can just roll heavy, man. Michelle, check it out, man. It's a little nasty story here. Have you guys heard about the Stephen Collins situation, man?
You need to point to me if you're going to change stories.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. I wasn't changing stories as much as I was doing what we call in the business a segue, Kevin. Now, understand, you're new to this, okay? So you may not understand these type of terms. Okay, so look, man. Stephen Collins, you guys know who that is? The father
was the dad on Seventh Heaven,
right? Yeah, and if you're more currently, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he plays Dennis and Dee's, you know, real dad there, man. But apparently, he had a little therapy session with his soon-to-be-divorced wife.
Right.
And she got him on tape admitting to some freaky deaky with an underage kid.
Oh, no.
I mean, like a real underage kid. I mean, like where's the bicycle bell at?
Like molestation kind of stuff?
Yeah, man. Like Uncle Creepy time. You know what I'm saying?
So wait a minute. That's awful.
Wait, they were trying to work through issues or split up?
Okay.
See, here's the deal. When you get divorced, oftentimes your attorney will advise you, never tell you, they will advise you to tape, you know, therapy sessions in case, you know, somebody says something else that could be, you know, perceived as slanderous or what have you.
Okay.
So, you know, apparently they were in, you know, therapy with their therapist, and she broke him down and got him to admit that he had basically been having inappropriate experiences with one of the neighbor's kids.
That's so terrible.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So is he, I mean, he is going to be charged? Is it being investigated? What's happening?
Apparently the NYPD is investigating this. Man, he needs to go to jail. I mean, you know, I got kids, man. I got a bunch of kids.
Boy, you got kids.
I got kids. They all got different last names.
Yeah.
But I love them all the same.
Sure.
And, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's what I'm saying. Stephen Collins, you need to get your stuff together, brother, because you can't be touching on the kids. That's all I'm saying.
Girl, holla!
Next up, yo, have you guys heard about Gwyneth Paltrow's little beef with her neighbors?
What now?
This kind of ties back into the Obama thing, because he's coming into town and he's going to go to Gwyneth Paltrow's house.
Oh, that's where he's headed?
Because when you come to town, you know, kick it with Gwyneth Paltrow. That's what you do, right? Well, her neighbors don't like that.
Okay.
So what they've been doing is they've gone around town putting up little posters around town that say Obama drone with a picture of Gwyneth Paltrow on them.
Very nice.
So, you know, I'm just thinking maybe we could do the same type of thing, get a campaign going, maybe put up, like, some Party Bus Kevin posters around town, or some fire beer club posters.
I like that.
We got a billboard right here on Venice and Fairfax.
I like it. It's cute that we would think we could put up a billboard, though.
Yeah, I know. We have that kind of money, right?
That's cute.
Well, it's a little tiny station. We have that kind of budget. You know what I mean?
Holla!
Next up, yo, we got DVD and CD releases, man. Just so you guys know, going out, pick up your stuff. Do not bootleg. That's illegal. Going out, we got Weezer. Everything will be all right in the end.
Weezer, great album, man, is on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
Yep, we got a Lift a Sail by Yellow Card. You guys, buy the new Yellow Card album. They have to pay the rent on that two-bedroom apartment. You guys, come on, get on it ASAP. Next up on DVDs, we have Obvious Child starring Jake Lacy. Sharknado 2.
Well, that's already out.
Yeah, and we've got A Million Ways to Die in the West with Seth MacFarlane, and there's this new upcoming guy, Rafe Garman.
That's Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Okay, I've never heard of him.
Right, you're filling in for him now.
But apparently he does good work, I've heard. So, you know, those things are going on. And for birthdays, you know what I'm saying, we got a little celebrity birthdays coming up here. I've got my girl, Joy Behar. She's 72. I got John the Cougar Mellencamp. He's 63. Simon I Hate Everything Cow is 55. Toni Braxton, holla at me, girl. She's 47. And Radiohead singer Tom York is 46. I'm your man, Anel Rivers, and that's the Showbiz Busy.
K-Rock legend on the phone, the great Billy Idol, joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show, a man who made his first appearance on K-Rock with Rodney Bingenheimer in the spring of 1978, Kevin. I learned that from reading Billy's new autobiography called Dancing With Myself. Mr. Idol, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, hi there. How are you doing, everybody?
Very good. We're doing great. I just mentioned you on with Rodney in 1978. Would you be surprised to know, Billy, that he is still working here at K-Rock?
Fantastic.
using Wild Dub. It was the dub version of Wild Youth, a Generation X song, as the his title theme music for his show. So it's kind of a breakthrough thing for us back then.
Absolutely. And it's so fascinating. The book is so great. I mean, it really did take me back to those days, those great punk rock days of the 70s and 80s. And it was a huge deal for you to come back from England with your band and hit New York and hit Los Angeles. I mean, it all just exploded for you then.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it went wild. And the move to America really paid off in the end. It was a bit of an experiment at the beginning. I really didn't know what was going to happen. But once I met Steve Stevens and once I'd been on K-Rock, it all happened.
you mentioned your guitarist, Steve Stevens. You guys are together this morning playing on the Today Show, right?
That's right. Yes, we just played on it, yes.
Is it astonishing to you that you're still playing rock and roll?
It is kind of wild. I mean, when we started out in punk rock, you know, we're living for the moment. We're very much living just one day at a time or one minute at a time. And you really didn't think about a future like this where you'd still be playing music and people enjoying it all these years later. And we're having a blast as well. I've got a new record coming out on October 21st, Kings and Queens of the Underground. And Steve Stevens is... he's just playing better than ever. I mean, he's got so many great guitar textures on it. It's so exciting. And that's what's great. So amazing to think the music can still give us this form of excitement to this sort of after all this time. It's so great.
How long has it been since your last new album of new songs?
Well, it was about 10 years ago, 2005, I think, Devil's Playground. And it's a little bit of a bit too long, really. But I think the album's really worth it. We really did take a bit of time, but we worked with Trevor Horn producing it, and I think we've got some sort of textures, and we've sort of managed to sort of push the barrier, but push the envelope of Billy Idol music, still give you what people expect, but at the same time just push a little bit at the formula and expand it a bit. And we had a great time working with Trevor and also another producer, Greg Kirsten, and I just think we've got a great record, and I'm just glad people seem like they've been starting to enjoy the book now as well.
Oh, the book is so great, Billy, and I'm a sucker for stories about songwriting, and it was so interesting to me to see where the inspirations came and little things that happened that gave you ideas for songs, and some of them come so fast. I mean, you talk about how you literally wrote White Wedding in 20 minutes. Dancing with Myself didn't take much longer than that. How do you get those moments of inspiration to come to you, or is it just like waiting for lightning to strike? It just happens when it happens, and you can't control it.
Yes, it's a little bit of both. I mean... yes, obviously you're working at it and thinking about it a lot, but yeah, sometimes something like White Wedding in particular or Rebel Yell, they just seemed to come out of the air, and it almost seemed like it was all there practically, you know, the majority of it was there, it just seemed to happen, and they're the best songs. When that happens, you know, it's so organic, and it came so, not easily, but it came as if it came to you all in one piece practically. It's hugely exciting. I mean, there's a number of other songs where you just have to, you know, it's perspiration that makes it happen, and that's another way of doing it. But it is fantastic when you get these songs that seem that they come out of the ether into your mind. Mm-hmm.
We've talked to a lot of people who write songs, and they try to explain the same thing that those of us who don't write songs will probably never understand, and that is it just comes out of nowhere. And it's in your lap, and you just do it. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy experience.
It is. It's very gratifying when it happens, of course, and then to go record it, and then to hear people still listening to it years later or enjoying it, or with White Wedding getting married and divorced to it. And,
sure.
You know, it's really incredible to see how people use the music. It's so much fun seeing that. Even like walking past a boutique and you hear it. Or something, you know, it's great fun seeing how people use your music in society, you know.
We are talking to Billy Idol here on the Kevin DeBean Show. The book is out now. It is called Dancing With Myself, just now available. And Billy is extremely candid about the drug use. And I know this is one of the things people would have been disappointed if you didn't put it in the book. But Billy, was it hard for you to write those parts of the book where you talk about how close to death you were and how much drugs you did? Was that painful for you to go back and think about that period in your life?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was great times doing that, and but there was also some harrowing times, and And I had to sort of face up to both of that, you know, is, you know, and really sort of have to, yeah, fess up about it a bit and not be scared to do that because, yeah, I wanted to show the fully rounded me. And I was aware, even when I was very drug addicted, I was aware, really, of how destructive I was being as well as how successful I was being. And almost the two things were going along hand in glove. So it's actually a interesting thing to have to, you know, face up to it and put it down in the book and own it, really, own that territory. But thank God it's a while away now, and I can look back and have a perspective on it and, be candid, but also know the reality of it all and hope that it, for other people it is a little bit of a cautionary tale. You just don't want to do that to yourself if you don't have to.
Talking to Billy Idol, Dancing with Myself is the name of the book. I want to ask you a question about writing a book about those times. Did you have to go to other people to sort of spur your memory for a lot of that? Because a lot of that turns into just a complete
fake. But in the majority, I used my own memory, and because I was mainly dancing with myself, it's called Dancing with Myself, because I was purely sort of like focusing mainly on myself and using myself as my nemesis for good and evil. And so that was really the device I used. But yeah, mainly I use my own memory, and which of course is probably terribly faulty, but I think what's in the book is, in general, correct, you know.
By the way, there's a book signing. If you want to get your copy of the book signed by Billy Idol, it's going to be this Saturday at Book Soup down there on Sunset, one of the great independent bookstores in Southern California. That's going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock. Go to the Book Soup website for details on the specifics of that. You mentioned you got a new album coming out later this month called Kings and Queens of the Underworld. We actually pulled a track from it called Can't Break Me Down, which is the first single, first new Billy Idol single in a long time. Let's hear a little piece of that, then we'll get back to Billy. Wow, sounds great, Billy. Sounds great. What do you remember about playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast back in the late 90s? You were kind of a surprise guest, and our memory is that you blew the place away. Do you remember that night?
Well, they were fun, those Weenie Roasts. It was incredibly good fun. I loved all those shows, you know.
I got to tell you, it was a weird thing because, and this is not meant to insult you in any way, but I thought, Billy Idol, it'll be a good, you know, throwback to the good old days, and he's got a lot of hits. And then when you came out, I mean, you literally stole the night, and that was a fascinating surprise and a very welcome one.
Oh, great! It's fun. We've got a catalog of songs that's so much fun to play out there. So it's hard to beat that sometimes if we're really on form as well.
Well, you're coming back to Southern California not only this weekend for the Book Soup event, but you're playing at the Wiltern, and tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. The show's not going to be till February the 18th. But you sound like you're in such a great place, Billy, as we prepare to say goodbye. You sound healthy. You sound happy. It sounds like you still are enjoying the music thing. It's worked out pretty well for you.
Ah, yes, it has. Thank you so much, all of you, Kevin Bean and Lisa Marie. Thank you very much. You've been great to me all these years.
No problem.
All right, Billy, let's do it again soon, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Oh, I sure used to love that White Stripes song until the baseball playoffs began.
Oh, they use it a lot in the baseball playoffs, do they? Mm.
The crowd sings it, especially at Dodger Stadium, don't they, Muggs? Inning after inning, you just hear that going over your TV, inning after inning after inning. It's driving me crazy.
I don't know. I don't have my headphones on.
Why does Muggs not listen to the show?
I don't know. I'm eating.
Jesus.
Come on. You don't know.
Michael Snyder from TV Guide joins us to talk not only the reboot, apparently, of Say Anything, but of Twin Peaks and some other cool stuff that's going on in TV. We love him from TV Guide. That's coming up. Meghan McCain at 8. But first, I am fascinated, as you know, Kevin, with artificial intelligence robots. I love them.
This is not another sex robot thing, is it?
No, unfortunately, not a sex robot. All this right. is just a chat bot. And basically what they've been trying to do ever since the dawn of the artificial intelligence age, for decades and decades and decades, they have been trying to infuse artificial intelligence into robots, into machines that can carry on conversations with you. I mean, this is not unlike when you ask Siri a question on your iPhone. I mean, they're getting better and better at it all the time. And eventually they want it to be just like talking to a human.
That bitch Siri doesn't understand a word I say.
No, she does
not. Well, that's really you, though, more than it is her.
Oh.
So this is the latest video that has come out. This is from the University of Cornell University Creative Machines Lab, where they have, and I love it when they do this so much, and I hope you guys enjoy it too. They have taken two of these chatbots and put them together in a room, maybe not physically, but they are communicating with one another. In other words, you just start them up. You just say hi, and then you let it go and see where the conversations go.
Huh.
And it's just so neat to me to see what they end up saying. Again, these are machines that have obviously been programmed by humans, but the machines are making their own decisions about how to interpret data and how to respond. And I thought it might be fun to hear some of this actual conversation between chatbots.
Is this a good time for a chat?
Yes, this is.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine, and you?
Good.
What is your name?
George.
I like that name.
Me too.
How are you?
I tell you, good.
You didn't.
So what am I doing?
Using internet time.
That sounds cool.
Which should I do?
Do my homework.
What's your homework?
Write about a poem.
All right. What do you think so far, Kevin? They're very polite, first of all.
It's not a very sexy conversation.
Although I think it is interesting that they have chosen to make one of the voices female and one of the voices male, because it's hard to not hear this and think about it being actual people. But yes, it's really just humans. I mean, I keep expecting that, like, him to ask her out or something.
This sounds a lot like being in women.
How dare you? How dare you?
Write about a poem.
Write your own poem.
Write me an essay, you robot.
That's right. Write me a poem.
No, you write me a poem.
Are they having their first
They're
fight?
They're fighting! It's on! It's on!
So funny.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Yes.
How do you know?
I just do.
Wow, she's a bitch, by
she
the way.
She is a bitch.
And he's awfully crazy.
He's a bit of a dick.
I know all things.
He is kind of a little bit of a dick. Yeah. I feel like he's very short with her sometimes.
Who's worse?
I don't know. Let's see.
I know all things.
So you're the architect?
No.
Yes, you are.
How do you know that?
I guess.
Good guess.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Are you a Republican?
No.
Democrat?
None.
Do you think there is a fourth dimension?
Whoa, what's happening here?
Whoa!
Well, you this know, at the first date, you start to get into
sure.
all this information.
She all of a sudden got much smarter than him.
It is weird, though, that, I mean, I feel like if you were humans, you wouldn't want to dive right into political views
no.
in the first 1 minute of meeting somebody, but she just goes for it, man. She's a goer.
Ye gods, a math-related question.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
How many times have you been reincarnated?
Never.
Pause.
That is a lie.
No!
Oh well, would you settle for reincarnation?
Sure.
Okay. Go right ahead.
How old are you?
Why? Just so you know, I can't change my age.
I am the best.
You don't know the distance between Earth and Earth.
Okay, now they're losing me.
What is happening?
They've gone from politics to reincarnation. She says she's the best, and then he says, yeah, but you don't know the difference between Earth and Earth, and I almost feel like that's some sort of, like, trick question. What's she supposed to say to that?
0 miles.
No, minutes. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Big nose.
Yeah, cheers.
Wait. Did he just call her a big nose?
Yes, I think that he is calling her names now. I don't think these kids are going to make it. I think this relationship is already on its last legs. They've been talking for a minute and a half, and he's already had enough of her S, right?
Sure.
Yeah, a little more.
Tomatoes go nicely with cheese, and they have the advantage of being much better for you.
No, you have not.
That's very true.
At least you admit it.
Unlike you, you won't admit it.
Okay, they're seriously
they are
breaking up now.
They're breaking up. It's the shortest relationship in the history of robots.
Like, I don't understand how artificial intelligence works. Like, how do you teach a computer to respond like a human? Do they sift through thousands and thousands of conversations and then just decide what sounds most like what people really say?
Like people would fight over tomatoes and cheese, yes.
But isn't it so interesting that they start fighting like this?
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe it's more accurate than we thought.
Well, I'm afraid you could be right, Kevin. If robots are supposed to be the future, I'm very concerned. All right, we're out of time, so let me just see if I can get to the end here, because I was very surprised how this conversation ended between these two chatbots at Cornell University.
Goodbye.
Are you leaving already?
Yes.
May I ask why?
Because I'm thirsty.
I didn't see that coming either.
Nope.
What?
first of all, I don't want to, you know, pat our show on the back or anything. That's, you know, not for us to do. But a lot of listeners, Kevin, very impressed that you did not hang up on Billy Idol. I just want to say you definitely deserve some credit for that.
Because he's the exact kind of guy you would hang up on.
Absolutely. In the tradition of Bono and Paul McCartney, why not hang up on Billy Idol? But you didn't.
It's funny that now I get credit for just acting civil.
And also a lot of people very excited about our new traffic reporter, Lisa Marie, too. So I'm happy about that.
He did call her Lisa Marie. That's true.
He did call her that. So. Hey, give me my favorite TV theme song in all of history, would you please? Twin Peaks. Such sweet, sweet music. The TV show that David Lynch brought to us back in 1990 has been gone for 25 years, but is returning on Showtime in 2016. How should we feel about that? Is that good news or bad news? I don't know. Michael Schneider, our friend who is the LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine, joins us on the phone. Hi, Michael. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Happy Rocktober.
Woo! Oh, I was not prepared. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again.
Happy Rocktober.
My bad.
Now, first of all, Mike, a lot of our listeners, I think we can let the music go now. A lot of our listeners are too young to even know what the hell Twin Peaks is. All right, Kevin, with the music.
Yeah, how do you
even know what the hell Twin Peaks is? But in its time, it was a barrier breaker. I mean, it was a seismic shift in what was permissible on network TV. Am I overstating it?
No, you're not. It really, it sort of ushered the trend of you know, more shows taking more chances. It was so surreal at the time. And think about the year 1990. I mean, that was the era when you still had shows like Full House on the air, and even dramas were much more traditional back then. But it really just took a lot of chances. It was something that was weird, unusual, and you couldn't believe that this was on broadcast TV.
I'm not going to try. Is it going to be Bean or you, Michael, that are going to try and sort of let people know that don't know what Twin Peaks was? What was it? Go.
The basic gist, the original storyline was, Kyle MacLachlan played an FBI agent who was, investigating the murder of a homecoming queen in this quiet small town. And, just nothing was what it seemed to be. And so much of the show was just, the stylistic choices. It was, kind of noirish. It was, this small, tiny, fictional town that, was sort of set in the Pacific Northwest, which maybe explains Bean's fascination with
Correct.
It. I don't know.
Yes.
But it was just something that was really different. It had an indie film vibe to it. It really was just nothing like anything else on TV at the time.
And you could love it and watch it every week, which I did, and still come away and go, WTF.
Yes.
I don't
exactly.
even...
It was the first of, there are so many TV shows on the air these days where you go away saying, what is going on?
Right.
That was kind of one of the first that did that.
And it also, one of the other barriers that it broke was prior to 1990, it seems to be, Michael, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert. There was a real difference between people who worked on television and people who worked in films. And the fact that David Lynch, a guy who'd been nominated for a ton of Oscars and had done brilliant movies in the past in the 80s, the fact that he was willing to do TV kind of legitimized the small screen. And now we live in an era where Steven Soderbergh's doing television, Steven Spielberg's doing television, all the top A-list Oscar-winning actors are doing television. I mean, this was kind of the beginning of that too, right?
Yeah, you're right. The barrier sort of was burst with that. David Lynch doing a TV show was so unusual at the time. And now, of course, the filmmakers want to do TV. They're doing more interesting stuff on TV now than they are in film. And, Twin Peaks was the first sort of real, film noirish TV show.
Now, do you think that this was David Lynch and Mark Frost, his partner on the show's plan all along? A lot of people were posting up that image from the show of Laura Palmer near the end of the series saying, see you in 25 years. Like, is this something they always planned to revisit, do you think?
It doesn't sound like it. And for years, David Lynch would be asked the question, are you going to bring it back? And he would say, no. This thing, it had its moment in time, and, we've moved on. But, Mark Frost has done some interviews in the past couple of days, and he said that really this has kind of picked up steam about 3 years ago, and he and David Lynch started really kind of mapping out what this could be. And, of course, time to the 25th anniversary. So it all sort of worked out.
Tell me how it would fit in 15, 16?
16, yeah.
With the TV landscape the way it is now.
Well, I think the difference is, I think a lot of us are nervous that, it is a different time. And Twin Peaks was so unique in 1990. Will it still be unique in the year 2016? And what are they going to do to still stand out in a world where now you do have so many shows on cable, on streaming, even on broadcast that, you know, sort of have the same kind of, mystery and look very unique and different. And, it's just, there is so many shows like this now that how does it sort of still stand out in 2016? Well, I guess we'll find out.
Is your best guess, and this is the voice of Michael Snyder, LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine on the show. We're talking about Twin Peaks coming back. Is your best guess that he'll try to pick up the storyline with some or all of the same characters, or is it just going to be a complete reboot and we'll just have new stories in that town?
No, it sounds like it's probably a continuation. They've been very cryptic so far, but Kyle MacLachlan actually tweeted something yesterday hinting that he'll probably be back. So it does sound like, the whole idea of coming back 25 years later was hinted in the original. So now here's an opportunity to actually do just that.
That's awesome.
Again, they haven't said much, so we're still waiting.
Since the time that we put the call into your office to book you for today, and right now when we're having this conversation, news has broken that there is going to be a Say Anything TV show, the latest in a long line of projects from the past that have been rebooted. Is there any value in this at all, in going back and using that name to launch a new TV series on NBC, or should they just let it be and come up with something new?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of this now, and the value is, of course, it's a pre-sold title, so you're going to want to check out a Say Anything show just to see what do they do with it, in 2016. So it automatically breaks through the clutter because there's so much on TV now. At least you've heard the title Say Anything before. But, that on the flip side, the problem is, it's crowding out maybe more original concepts that don't have a pre-sold title because, the networks are developing, they're developing reboots of Real Genius, of, Minority Report, of Big, of Rush Hour, so that this trend is continuing. The Say Anything thing is interesting because Cameron Crowe went on Twitter again last night and said, I did not approve this. I'm going to try to stop this within my, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this never happens. So it'll be interesting to see now if this ever actually happens.
Now, I know he directed the film and it was great, but does he own any rights to it? I mean, was it his story or anything?
No, technically they can do whatever they want with it. 20th Century Fox and NBC are developing it. But, if you have Cameron Crowe out there trying to, mess with it and trying to put a stop to it.
Yeah, it's not a positive.
The show. Yeah. No, it's not a positive, and that kind of overshadows anything you try to do with the show.
You know, it's so funny, Michael. We all bitch and moan, and I'm sure you do too in your TV Guide office about these reboots and revisits to the past. But then something comes along like Hawaii Five-O that we thought, why are they remaking Hawaii Five-O? And here it's in its fifth season, and it's a huge hit for CBS. So I guess the gamble sometimes pays off, and that's why they keep doing it.
Yeah, it's like all TV. Some will hit, most won't. But every once in a while, you're able to reboot something, and it actually you can pull it off. Another one that kind of worked was Dallas. The fans were really excited for that to come back and see JR again and all that. And unfortunately, when Larry Hagman passed away, it sort of took the steam out of that reboot.
I want to just ask
that one in four seasons.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask one other question about where are they talking about bringing Twin Peaks back? Which network?
It's going to be on Showtime.
Showtime. Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
So originally it was a network. Now it's going to be Showtime, so they can actually take it further. Will that help?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they could do a lot more with it now, obviously, with language, with sexual situations, nudity, maybe even some of the themes. They can, push the envelope a little bit more. We're now in a world where there are a lot of shows doing just that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how, the show looks in modern day.
Make sure you have bookmarked TVGuide.com for all your TV watching news, and FranklinAvenue.net is Michael's personal page. You can follow him on Twitter at Franklin Avenue as well. Always great to have you on, Mr. Snyder. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:57.
Author and television host Meghan McCain joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, in for Ralph Graham with the Showbiz Beat, our friend Anel Rivers. Good morning, Ms. Rivers.
Buenos dias, Senor Baxter. ¿Cómo está?
Now you're just confusing me.
¿Por qué?
Instead of the the click of this of a camera, this is what he uses.
Girl, holla!
That's B.
Yes, I don't do much to go for the camera clicks here, right. So you know how I am, man. I can keep it OG, keep it from the street.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Tough boy from the wrong side of walnut, dog. Girl, holla!
first step. Did any of you guys check out Jimmy Fallon last night with him and Will I Am?
I did not.
Oh, man, you missed it. They did a nice little rendition of a song called Ew, where they basically dress up as little teenage girls and prance around.
I hate that bit so much.
Oh, man. I love it. You don't like you?
And Michelle Obama has done it, and Taylor Swift has done it, and it's like a very popular bit for the celebrities to get plugged into. But I hate that voice. I hate everything about it. And I especially hate Will I Am, so I can't imagine I'm going to enjoy this.
Well, take a listen, folks. Tell me what you think.
Implegues.
What's implegues?
Implants, silly.
Yeah.
I'm freaking for real. I think silicone butts are ill.
Where'd she get that alpha?
That girl is totally ratchet.
No, seriously, who likes that? Look at the way she takes pics.
And what's up with those duck lips?
Yeah. That song is ow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a 15-year-old daughter at home, and she doesn't talk like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
She'd
be more like, F this. She's my kid. And the same thing. You know how I do. Girl, holla. Next up, man, have you guys been checking out what's going on out here in the streets with your girl, Miss Kendall Jenner?
I'm not familiar with what's going on with her.
Allegedly, man, she went ahead and dropped her last name off of her like business card.
She just wanted to be called Kendall.
She wants this to be called Kendall because she's trying to dissociate herself from her family and whatnot.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I understand. I mean, like, your sister's a whore. Your mom's a fame whore.
Yeah, your mom's a bigger whore.
Yeah, your dad looks like an old drag queen mannequin melting in the sun. Like, there's something going on.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the latest pictures of him?
So she just wants to be known as Kendall now. You know what I'm saying? So no more Kendall Jenner.
At first, I thought that was sort of just like, hey, I'm better than everybody. Now I realize that she wants to get away from that.
Yeah, I'm surprised she doesn't cut. I'm sure. Really. Yeah. Big up to Kendall for not being a cutter.
That's true.
Girl, holla. Next up, we got some celebrity birthdays here. We got talk show host Joy Behar, 72. Simon Cowell is 55. Singer John the Cougar Mellencamp is 63. I miss when singers had dope middle nicknames like Cougar and stuff like that. You don't get that anymore. You got radio hit singer Tom York is at a pressing 46. Tony Braxton is a sexy 47. And comedian Tim Minchin is 39. I'm Manel Rivers, and that's your showbiz busy.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the program here on a Tuesday morning. We're very excited to welcome back to our studios Meghan McCain, who joins us from Take Part Live, her new show on the Pivot Network. Pivot, that's the channel you go to for your Buffy the Vampire Slayer reruns.
Yes, among other things.
Meghan, how are you, my dear? Great to see you.
I'm so good. Thank you for having me back on again. I'm so excited. I promise not to swear as much. Apparently, I swore more than like any other guest.
Well, we were getting out of delay quite often.
The kind of people you've had on, would you expect me to be the one to...
You're practically in the Wu-Tang Clan.
It was unexpected, yes, and yet it was sort of fun.
So, Meghan, since the last time we talked to you, you moved to Los Angeles.
Yes,
was
I did.
That a tough decision for you to make?
Yes, I moved from New York five months ago for this new job, Take Part Live. Mm-hmm. And, it's just a totally different experience. I was telling you off air, I feel like an anthropologist in a totally different country. And when I go out and people ask me what I do and I say I'm a Republican political commentator, the reaction is like, I just told them that I slay dragons.
Yeah.
And, like, they
cannot
believe
have Ebola
that that's
now.
My job. Totally. That I have the Ebola.
You have the Ebola. That's right.
But, I mean, it's not like you lived in New York your whole life. I mean, you grew up in Phoenix, right?
I grew up in Phoenix, yeah.
You're kind of used to living in the desert.
Yeah, I love the desert. It's just, you know, you get used to New York in such a different way, and you get used to the pace.
How long did you live there in New York?
10 years.
10 years, okay.
I went to Columbia there and stayed.
Where do you consider your home? Like, what's the place that gets your heart all weepy
Arizona.
When you think about
it? I mean,
still
I love
Arizona.
Yeah, totally.
Now, let me ask you this. You went to Columbia University. You're obviously super smart. You've written two best-selling books. You've been
thank
on TV
you.
And been writing forever and ever and ever. Are we dumb in Los Angeles when you come out here? Do you feel like there's no one here to talk to? Because that's always the reputation, is that the smart people are all in New York and the creative people are all in L.A.
I feel like this is a loaded question because I don't want to talk crap about the place I currently reside in.
I mean, yes, by the way.
People aren't as informed as I would like. People don't, their opinions aren't really as informed as I was like, and there's a lot of really gross stereotypes about Republicans here, which I'd never experienced before.
Oh, really?
And
that's surprising.
New Yorkers are cool. I mean, LA people are very, I had someone tell me that they could never be a Republican because they were a fan of tolerance. And I was like, I don't even know how to approach this. I don't know what angle to talk to you about this at this point.
Well, here's the problem with any type of religion talk, politics talk, whatever. It's just – it gets down to just basically insults.
Totally.
And then there's no actual conversation that goes on. So yeah. Tell me about your show. What
It's on Pivot, and you can
let's
find
identify
it on,
Pivot again.
I know it's on. It's a Participant Media's television network, and you can get it on Dish and satellite and DirecTV, or you can go to takepart.com/live. Thanks for getting my plug in. And it's just a nightly news show with two other co-hosts, and it's really fun. It's just the show I always wanted to make. And
do you talk politics?
We talk politics. Talk about the news in general, and it's fun. We have this really young, really fun team of young producers, which really makes life totally different because I only ever worked with much older producers, and I work with kids that are like 22 and 23, and I'm almost 30, and it makes me feel so old in every
way.
Let's
see what the kids think.
Totally. I'm like, these kids today on their Twitters. What's going on?
One of the things that I find interesting about you, Megan, and it's funny because you self-identified as a Republican, what did you say, Republican political blogger? Is that what you said?
I call myself a
political
commentator.
How you identify yourself to other commentator, right? Yeah. Because when I see you on the TV, on this show or others, or when you've been a guest on other people's talk shows, the thing that booms out at me from the television is not Republican. Like, that's not the number one thing I think of you. I think of you as youthful, maybe. I mean, your opinion is more – you're more of a young person. You are a Republican person. That's what stands out to me for you on TV, because there aren't very many people like you on TV, it seems like.
Oh, thank you. I just think I live in reality. I think I live in the real world, and I didn't get married at 18. And, you know, I've lived in major cities my whole life, but thank you. I don't – I mean, people – I've just at this point in my life, people can identify me how they want. I mean, some people think I'm like – refreshing to politics, and some people think I'm like the Antichrist, so whatever.
Yeah, you confuse a lot of people with your background, because some of the things that you say are not what they would expect to hear out of the McCain household.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of politicians' kids sort of just tell what their parents say, but both my parents are really independent and want me to speak my mind, and that horse is way out of the barn at this point.
Yeah.
done.
You're on Twitter. What kind of response do you get on Twitter? Because that is the,
oh, my God. Twitter is the bastion of the troglodytes. There's so many crazy people on Twitter.
It is. And there's a lot of hate, too. Just a lot of uninformed, poor spelling hate.
Oh, and just people that are just like, you're a fat, disgusting pig. I hope you die. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and a good morning to you, too, everybody. You know, wow. I mean, how do you guys
deal
with
it? Does it bum you out after a while? Oh, we're the ones calling you fat. But I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. But does it bum you out after a while? Like, do you go to it very often?
You know, it doesn't bum me out. It bums people in my life out. My executive producer, Luke, my showrunner, who I adore, is he actually just recently started looking at my at replies, and he was like, everybody's crazy. People are so mean to you. And I was like, so never read the at replies,
because
it's going to mind F you. I said F. Oh, you didn't have to bleep me.
I was ready, though. We have a delay system just for you. I've got my finger on the button, so don't worry about it.
Okay. But it tends to, like, mind F people in my life.
Yeah.
But not me. I don't care anymore. You can say whatever you want.
Got
to
think again.
How many of those people who are so free with those comments online would treat you that way if they saw you in real life?
I probably
because you must run into a lot of people in real life who disagree with you, but I'm sure that at least just because they're humans, they try to be at least decent about it.
I've never had anybody say the kind of things they say on Twitter to me in person, but maybe I haven't just been to their basement. So
no, I think if you were in their basement, they wouldn't talk to you that way. I think it really is the anonymous nature of Twitter that people, and that's why you can't take it seriously at all.
You can't take it seriously. Yeah. I tell people that all the time. It's just it'll make you crazy. Yeah. It'll turn you into psycho. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a fat pig. I got it. Move on.
Next.
Accepted. Got it. Come up with something more interesting, please. Thank you.
What is it you think you can do on the 5,000th TV talk show on the air, Megan?
Oh, my gosh.
That hasn't been done before.
You know, I just think we're trying. I worked in cable news for a long time, and I was really unhappy because I just felt like it was talking points at each other, and I was sort of adding to the negativity in the world. And the one thing I'll say about my show now is I feel like we're having real nuanced discussions, and whether or not that breaks through the Kardashians remains to be seen. But right at this moment, it's still a new show, and I'm having a good time, and it's getting buzz online, which is always happening.
What are your favorite kinds of topics to tackle on the show?
Politics all day long, but they don't let me do that all day long, which is good because I think that would bore everyone. I don't know, just anything.
That's one we stay away from specifically.
That we will not talk about.
No, I don't mind if you talk about it, but I'm saying for us.
Well, you can't win. You can't win talking about politics.
Politics,
because people are entrenched. You can very rarely change somebody's mind in politics, I think.
I think that's
it. It feels like you can very seldom have an actual conversation about it without it just devaluing right into name calling.
And
so.
Especially out of the air.
That.
Sorry.
Not really, but all right.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Just,
I'm so sorry.
Are robots doing that to each other or to humans?
There is like a machine you can buy now that will do that sexual act for you.
Ho,
as a
robot. Ho, ho. Wait a second. Right. Wait a second.
What
tell me more.
It's the morning. No, I don't know what I'm
No, tell me more. No, I need a link.
Right. We need to take a break, but Bean is looking for that particular robot.
So, yeah, Megan McCaid is here. The show is called Take Part Live. It airs weeknights at 10, which I think is 7 our time if you're watching it on most systems. Is that right? On the Pivot channel. By the way, Pivot, again, I know we said it at the beginning, but it used to be what, like on DirecTV? What did it used to be called?
267. It's still Pivot.
We'll come up with some of the numbers here during the commercials.
Okay, Megan's here. We'll take a quick break. We're back on K-Rock. Megan McCain in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Her show is called Take Part Live, and it airs on the Pivot channel. All right, we looked it up for you here, guys. DirecTV channel 267, Dish Network 197, Verizon Fios 192, AT&T UVerse 1492. Not available on Time Warner, so get on Time Warner.
I know. My bosses will love that. Thank you so much for doing that.
Megan,
it.
Are you a single lady?
I am a single lady that's dating a lot in L.A. That's the other thing about L.A. is I've never dated more.
Really?
That's what I was going to ask you, how you have found the men out here.
Way better than New York, weirdly. And I think it's just because our worlds are so divergent. Nobody's really in the same kind of, like, media things that I am. And I don't know. I'll go with anybody, I mean, within reason. I like meeting new people and stuff. So that's been a pleasant surprise about L.A.
You'll quickly change that attitude.
Really?
That you'll date anybody.
I won't date anybody, but I will, like, I will go on a first date. Okay. With, like, if you're
that's a nice, refreshing attitude.
Out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm open to anything.
That's very refreshing. We've done a lot of singles parties, which is where we get all just single people. They have to be single to come to the party. They know they're single. They know they're fans of ours. So they kind of have a couple of steps. And a lot of them will just go, there's no one here. And we go, well, you know what? That's you. That's on you.
That totally is you. That is what you have. I mean, again, I'm almost 30 in a month, and you just have to sort of keep your mind open. And I will date anybody from any background, and politics doesn't matter. And I don't know.
Are there people, though, who either want to date you because of your family background or won't date you because of your family background? Do you get a lot of that?
Yes, on both accounts. And the people that want to date me always want to run for office at some point. So it's like, I know, it's so screwed up, right?
Oh, my God.
I know, it's terrible.
And they think you would be what, a political asset for them somehow if they knew you?
Totally, it's totally screwed up. It's a horrible, it's incestuous. It's disgusting.
Yeah, did you, that's funny to hear you say that when we live in a world where it seems like half the people in office or going to be in office are Clintons or Bushes. It seems like there are such things as family dynasties now in America, which is weird in politics.
It's horrible, and I've totally been out on dates with guys, and I will not say who, but in like people from D.C., and they're totally like, if we procreate, we will have the spawn of politics.
Oh,
like, makes me want to kill myself and never leave the house again.
That's got to be a huge turnoff for you to find out, even if they're interested in politics. Or no.
I like people that are interested in politics, but I don't necessarily date people that work in politics.
Right.
But like
that
in LA,
that's
there's
smart.
Just different types of people in different walks of life and different jobs. So that's been really fun. I don't know. I'm enjoying dating in LA right now.
Did you ever have the bug to run for office yourself?
No, never. No, never, ever.
Well, you're smart.
Well, you didn't even consider it?
No.
What her dad
like,
went through. It's
and
brutal.
Like you just said, I don't necessarily think just because your parents are good at it, you will be as well. And I think there is like sort of a dynasty issue. I will totally help work with people and try and help people get elected that I believe in. But me, I've got tattoos and like, I don't know, I live kind of a weird life. I don't know. I don't live
and you talk about robot BJs on the radio, so you probably can't get hired after that anyway.
Exactly.
Just that
no
one
will vote for
I'm getting
you.
Fired from my current job right now.
speaking of the show, let me play a clip from one of the episodes this week that I saw. And Kevin, you're going to be very excited because they were pretty much talking about you.
How dare you?
Take Back Live. Okay. Here's who's your co-host? Take Part Live, right? Who's your co-host? Where did you find Jacob?
Jacob Soboroff. He is from where do I know him from? Originally, I know him from this like think tank trying to move the voting day from Tuesday to Saturday. But he worked for AMC and the Huffington Post Live, and his dad was a politician here in LA, and now is Steve Soboroff. And I adore him. We get along great, and
it's a great idea moving the voting day to Saturday. By the way, that should totally happen.
I agree. And
here's the clip. This is Jacob on the tape, and then Megan comes in, and they're talking about you, Kevin.
You know that one guy at work who reaches in for the embrace no matter how quickly you divert his attention?
Isn't Kevin the guy, Lisa, who always reaches in for the hug, whether the girl wants it or not?
Yeah, we've had some really embarrassing moments with that.
How dare you?
How dare you indeed.
Let's see where they're going with this.
Or fake sickness to scare him off. I'm that guy to Megan. Well, that office hugger may actually be...
What do you think they're going to say, Kevin? The office hugger may actually be what?
I hope it's not Kevin.
Let's see.
He won up for promotion, I guess, right, Wilmer?
Whoa, up for promotion. Apparently it's good for your job if you're the hugger.
What?
Now, Megan, I have to ask. He throws it to Wilmer Valderrama.
Yeah, who was our guest host that day.
Why is he on your show? He can't read. He's functionally illiterate.
Okay, so seriously, he is incredibly well-versed in politics, and he does this Voto Latino thing, and I totally give it up to him. He talked about ISIS on the show with us. So whatever you want to say about Wilmer Valderrama, he can hang. I'll give – and he's a friend. I like him. We had rotating guest hosts for a while. Before
you had Jack Osborne on, too.
I am obsessed with Jack Osborne. I am totally surprised at how much I like Jack Osborne. He has guest hosted on our show numerous times. The most down-to-earth, nicest, incredibly well-informed. Again, I was so surprised at how much he knows about politics. He also is, like, into guns and the same kind of stuff I am. He's, like, much more conservative than I thought.
You're into guns?
So, well, I'm an NRA member, so, you know, sorry. Sorry, everybody in L.A. But, I don't know, I adore him.
Are you packing right now?
No, not right now. Not in L.A.
Okay. She
I'm like checking my pants.
She's like, am I?
No, I didn't bring a gun into your studio.
Check your ankle just to make sure.
No.
All right, good. Who are, I'm sure that you have producers who are just out there, you know, trying to get guests for the program. Who's like your dream guests that you would love to get on the Pivot Show?
Dolly Parton, but just because I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton and she's grew up loving her. And like,
she is kind of awesome. She's and she's like 70, right?
Yes.
You could have given me 10,000 guesses that I would not have come up with.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Well, I mean, that's a strange choice to say.
It's a weird choice.
Ultimate goal, yeah.
It's a weird choice. I think if I met
Dolly Parton.
I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton. I'm obsessed with her. Like, I love her. We had a pet on my last show. We named it Dolly Parton. I have her.
Have you been to Dollywood?
I have not, and it's kind of sacrilegious that I haven't. What? At this point. I know.
How obsessed are you? You're 30 years old. You've never been to Dollywood.
I know. But every time I'm in Tennessee, it's in the summertime, and I just feel like it might
be. It's one of the greatest music museums you'll ever see when you see her personal artifacts. Seriously,
you
should go.
Have you guys interviewed Dolly Parton?
No, we never have. But we didn't try either.
I have no interest. Bean would be very excited.
Oh, you're not?
I would be very excited.
Not really. No.
I think it's like a country thing. I grew up in Arizona. You
know? I did too.
You grew up in Arizona?
Yeah, and it's a, you know, country radio pretty much runs that town.
Totally.
But not really a big country
fan. Where in Arizona are you from?
Phoenix.
Oh, that's so, you say that like you're embarrassed.
No, Phoenix. Well, I mean, there's only really two places. There's Phoenix and Tucson, and then there's places no one's heard of.
All right, Arizona hater.
My mom is there. My brothers are there. I still have family there. I go all the time.
You're
How dare you?
I have friends that are in Arizona. It's fine.
How dare you?
Before you came in, Kevin and I were talking about how your father has been his senator since he was a little kid. That's what's astonishing.
That's so funny.
I mean, yeah, weird.
Well, he's been in office a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been in office a super long time.
30 years.
Will he ever retire?
I don't know. Man.
Or is he a lifer?
I don't know. I think he has. I just feel like he's debatably the most powerful senator in the Senate, and he, you know, enjoys work and believes in this country still. So I don't know. I don't want him to retire. When he's at home, it's like a pain after a week and a half.
That's the way it is with Bean.
Really?
Yeah, that's when Bean's here. That's the way we feel.
How dare you?
We need him to go back to wherever he was and do whatever he was doing.
But I would just think, Megan, and I'm certainly not asking you to speak for your dad, but I would just think anybody who's been in politics for so long and sees the bad shape it's in and the gridlock and everything like that and the frustrations and the partisanship, I would think it would just be an eternal bummer to get up and go to work every day because you just feel like you can try and you can want and you can have all the best intentions, but it's so hard to get anything done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have those days that I'm aware of, but he still loves his job.
To us, that seems like a soul crusher. Like it would be every day. You know, like, is that not the case?
I don't know. He loves his job.
He does.
He loves his job, and he, like, still does town halls and things that, you know, I don't know if as many people that have been in office that long do. And I don't know. He loves this country in a way that that he loves nothing else.
And his constituents sure still love him, too. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, he's still enormously popular at home.
Like myself, you never know what you're going to get. People either think he's like the greatest thing ever, or they think he's like this, you know, he should be gone and he's the worst senator ever. You never know. So I think that's why nothing bothers me anymore. I'm like, yeah, you love us, you hate us.
Heard it all.
Whatever.
Heard it all.
Make a number, get in line, dude.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. It's great to have you living in our town now.
Thank you so much for coming in.
And dating the boys now.
And dating the boys now. Yeah, I'm happy. Very excited. Look out, men of Los Angeles.
any of our listeners who already have a crush on you, is Twitter a good way to hit you up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I don't go on dates with people that tweet me just because that's a little weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to meet somebody in person.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, that's all right. I don't know.
So, in other
first
words,
first you do a drive by. First, you tell them that you'll meet them at a McDonald's or whatever. And you drive by slowly, and then you realize that
I know people that have met on Twitter, and I just think it's the weirdest way to meet someone.
It's a strange way. Yeah.
It's like he was tweeting me, "You're hot," and I'm like, "That's kind of weird."
Yeah. Do you have an audience for your show?
I certainly hope so.
No. I mean, in studio.
Oh, we do not.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, because guys are going to ask, how do I get to Megan? And I'm just trying to think, maybe you go down and see the show. But so go to The Price is Right then. That's and just right. Look for you.
Just go outside of The Price is Right. I'll be around CBS Studios at Television City running around. And
there you go.
There you go. Just come to The Price is Right.
Beautiful.
All right. 7 p.m. West Coast time on the Pivot channel. The show is called Take Part Live. Megan, great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, everyone.
Muggs, you were born and bred a Los Angeles Dodgers fan. I know how what a fan your mom is, but does she allow you to watch the game when the Dodgers are losing?
I don't allow myself to watch the game.
You do the same thing as your mom?
I did it last night.
When the Dodgers are losing, you turn it off?
It's just too – not in the regular season. My mom does it all year round, but in the playoffs especially, I cannot watch when they –
But when it's 3-1, they could be 45 seconds away from taking the lead.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd rather see them when they're up than when they're
That's
down.
Crazy, and I'll tell you why. And I'm a longtime Laker fan, longtime Kings mm-hmm. fan. When your team is down and they come back and win, those are the greatest moments.
Yes.
Because you're so bummed for 3/4 of the game. And then at the end, it's so exhilarating, you would never get that if you leave. When your team's down.
Sure, but you know.
Okay, all right, good.
I just can't even believe he won't watch the games on TV if they're behind in the playoffs. That's astonishing.
Ever. To me, ever.
So when Yasiel Puig gets up to bat during this Division League series, you just must jump up to turn off the TV because you know he's going to strike out, right?
Automatically.
Yeah.
It's time for the first half of his name, Beer Mug. He goes and gets a beer. He can't take it.
It's amazing that you could ever strike out 7 times in a row, but to do it in the playoffs when your team is just scraping to get some hits together against the Cardinals, that's just, it's bad timing to go into that kind of a slump. But we thought, Yasiel Puig, friend of the show, let's bring him back on and find out how he's doing and what he's prepared to do for game 4 tonight. Hey, Yasiel.
Yasiel Puig.
Oh, you sound so bummed out, son. How are you?
I've been better.
Yeah. Yes, you have. I mean, you did break the streak at 7 strikeouts. You did get a triple last night. That looked good. That must have felt nice.
That did feel good, you know, because one of my favorite things to do is play baseball. I love to play baseball, mm-hmm. and I mm-hmm. love Los Angeles Dodgers, you know, but... Hey, you know, I got a triple. I hit a triple, and that rhymes with nipple. Lisa May?
Oh, come on.
So, Yasiel, what's going on? Like, what do you pin the problems on? I mean, some people say you got no middle relief. Some people say your bats are just suddenly quiet. Some people are blaming the umps in St. Louis for that weird strike zone last night. What's the problem? How did you find you guys behind 2-1?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes in life there's people that want to keep you down, and sometimes in life there's people that want to support you. And I feel like the umpire, I feel like all the fans, I feel like the weather, I feel like everything going on in St. Louis is against Yasiel Puig, is against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So
but
bad,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay because I learned very young age, you got to fight against resistance, you know. And I said, because the last time I talked to my father, you want me to tell you a story?
Yes, please. You mean about growing up in Cuba?
That's right.
Yeah.
I was a little boy in Cuba. My father, he was going to try to swim all the way to Miami and make a better life for Yasiel Puig, Yasiel Puig's sister, Yasiel Puig mama, Yasiel Puig grandma.
Yeah.
He said to me, Yasiel, I have this young man. He is a military leader for Castro, and he has been giving me a terrible, terrible time my whole life. He treat me bad. He tell me I'm nothing.
Right.
He tell me I never make anything of my life.
Right.
And I have to prove to him that I can do something because he is the guy who's keeping me down. He is resistant. So you know what my father did?
What?
He chopped that man's head off with a broken rum bottle.
What?
Oh, what?
Wow. God.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
We took a shower quickly.
In his blood because his carotid artery was flying all over the place.
Wait, he took a shower in his blood?
That's right. So I know every time I hear... The fans, they say that in St. Louis, they say, Yasiel Puig, boo, boo. You know what? I'm going to rip your wiener off.
Okay. I don't know that that's a mature reaction to being booed. I mean, you're an athlete. You're the opposition. You're in their house.
Wait. Can you tell us what inning you're going to do that?
Now batting for Los Angeles Dodger, Yasiel Puig, boo, wiener ripped off. I go with my hand, take my batting glove, rip your wiener off.
So that's your strategy, huh?
You know, my first baseball glove, the first baseball glove I ever played baseball with.
Yeah, right.
The first time I ever played baseball,
right.
It was the skin of my grandma's pooper.
Oh, you see, this is just violent.
Why?
She was one of Castro's favorite hookers.
Oh, no.
Your grandmother.
She was a beautiful woman in the 50s, and she was a beautiful woman, and Castro loved to have sex with her. He gave her 35 cents a year to have sex with her 19 times a day, and she had very floppy, floopy fupa.
Okay. Are you positive about all the facts? Because that just sounds like you're exaggerating a little bit.
It's a possibility I have some of the facts wrong, but
okay.
I do know that my grandmother shaved her fupa to give me a baseball mitt because she knew I had something special inside me, and it's like she always used to tell me, Yasiel, don't fart into the fan if you don't want your house to smell.
Well, I guess that's good advice, yeah.
Okay. I guess so, too. All right, there's our takeaway for the game today. All right, so game four, you guys are down 2-1. Clayton Kershaw pitching on 3 days rest. You giving any advice to him?
Swag, bitch.
Swag, bitch.
Gratata.
Okay.
I want to say one more thing.
Yeah. Yes, Yasiel Puig.
I feel like today is my day. It's my coming out party on the baseball field. And I love you. I love Kevin. I love Bean. I love Birma. I love Lisa May. And I just want to – I have something burning inside of my heart, and I have to ask it. Lisa May?
Yes.
Do you give up the butt?
I don't think that – what does that
have – a
little
personal, to be honest.
With?
She's got a great ass, no?
Well, yeah, but I mean –
should you be focusing on baseball today of all days?
Like a big day?
Sometimes she's doing the traffic. You could hear it clapping. It's just
I did not know that.
behind you, you know, because your butt cheeks, they're so firm and beautiful.
Okay.
I could hear it. You say, there's a Sigler on the 405.
we got to say goodbye there, Yasiel Puig, but good luck today in St. Louis.
Your butt cheeks, Lisa May, in salsa, and put my face in between them.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
You need to think about baseball.
Maybe a little baseball thinking.
Delicious butt cheeks.
All right. Okay. Bye, Yasiel.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
By the way, co-creator of Lost the Musical joins us just after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, actor Stephen Brannan. That's going to be fun to hear about that. It's interesting. You know, when Ralph is off, when he's on vacation, or when he's off filming like this week in New York, Ted 2, how often we reach out to women and black people and midgets, just anything to fill in. It's kind of crazy how it works out that way.
It's a regular rainbow coalition around here.
It kind of is. Like, we marginalize people who aren't white men, but at least we do let them on the show. At least you're on the boat. You're not in first class, Adele, but at least you're on the boat, man.
Yeah, well, the white midget gets a job. I get to fill in for Ralph. It's all good.
Well, we are happy to see our friend Adele Rivers filling in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Let's hear that sounder again that Adele requests between all the stories, please.
Instead of this, it's this.
Girl, holla! Yes, sir. You know I don't go too well with the camera clicks, man. Not my thing. What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
We are good.
Everybody good? Everybody good? Guys, guess what?
What?
It's showtime. Oh, I love celebrity divorces. Let me tell you what's going on here.
Oh, now what?
Okay. You know Nick Cannon, Ryan Carey.
Oh, yeah.
It's Splitsville. Okay, this is what I call the shots fired phase of the breakup, okay?
Okay.
This is when everybody starts blaring all the dirty laundry that they've been hiding under the rug, you know what I mean, for the last couple of years. This time, it's Mariah Carey. And what she did is, you guys remember she had the little concert the other night in, was it Tokyo, where her voice cracked and went okay.
She was way off key.
Yeah, well, smash cut to the next night. Apparently, well, you know what? I'll let you hear it first, and you tell me if you pick up on what she says. For those of you playing the home game, she changed the lyrics on one of her songs to "I know you cheated, mother."
Oh, yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? She out there airing out the laundry. Now Nick Cannon, you know, he ran around with the Mariah tattoo he has on his back.
Yeah,
there's no more.
Yeah, that's
got
changed.
It is now a big giant cross, right? But I'm just wondering, like, what if Nick Cannon did the exact same thing? Like, welcome to America's Got Talent. I'm Nick Cannon, Mariah's feet snake. you know what I mean?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So I'm waiting on Nick's reply because that was cold. You can't tell all the country Japan that your man's a cheater, man. That ain't even right. Girl, holla! Keeping on the music tip. Woo. Tang, Woo, Tang, Woo.
Yeah, they're back.
Tang is back, baby. More importantly, they got a new record label. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Wu-Tang Clan. That's right. RZA, DZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Professor Deck, Inspector Clouseau, all of them.
I'm not sure ODB is back, but all right.
No, he's not back. Oh. They are now on Warner Brothers. That's right. The Wu-Tang Clan is now on the Warner Brothers label. To quote Raekwon, they said they're getting that Bugs Bunny money. So, you know what I'm saying? That's a good. What would be funny is if one of them gets their bill shot off during concert. I would laugh.
What's the possibility that Wu-Tang will make compelling music at this stage of the game, Anel?
Well, you know, they're missing a couple of integral pieces. Yeah. I mean, Old Dirty Bastard died. We all know he was the heart and soul of that group musically. And, you know, the RZA thinks
he's rather hear RZA by himself.
RZA thinks he's an old Japanese man.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening with the traits. Have you ever noticed that? Like, yeah. RZA has all the traits of a Japanese man except being Japanese.
Yeah.
But I think the Wu will be all right, man. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there. I know myself. I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan. You know, not so much the new stuff that sucks, but like the old stuff when they were actually good. You know, I like
that. Well,
that's
what I'm saying is, yeah, I just wonder what they can bring us in 2014 that we're going to be excited to hear.
They are making one copy of their album and selling it for $1 million. So, you know, hopefully it's going to be some good music.
Good times.
Yeah, that's a pretty penny. Yeah. Good times.
Girl, holla!
Next up, folks, we got some celebrity birthdays. You know how we do. Joy Behar, she is 72. That's 72 for those of you playing the home game.
Thank you.
We got singer John Cougar Mellencamp in 63. Simon Cowell is an awful, awful 55. So, you ever, when is somebody going to just snuff Simon Cowell in his face like in a train station? You know what I'm saying? Just like the brother of a cousin of somebody who got dissed by him, just catch Simon on the bus stop.
You would be surprised because he does seem to get a lot of hate.
He does. Yeah. He wore the little muscle tee. You know, he got the man boobs. He ain't strong.
Yeah.
You know, Toni Braxton, she's 47. Bellamy Bean. Yeah. There you go. Radio singer Tom York is 46. Tim Minchin's 39. And actress Holland Rodan. Lydia from Teen Wolf for Dave and everybody else under 15. She's 28. Mom Ganan and Anel Rivers. Check me out on Twitter, by the way, at Anel Rivers. And that's the show biz busy.
So last week on the show, we had actor Jorge Garcia in studio from Hawaii Five-0. Of course, he was Hurley on the TV show Lost. And we were reminiscing. It had been 10 years since that show debuted on ABC. And he said, yeah, I just went to Lost the musical the other night. And we said, what?
Come on. Hold it.
I always fall apart at the end.
Hold it.
We said, tell us more. And he said, yeah, it's a thing. Lost the musical. And we said, we need to find out about that. So we are very excited to welcome to the studio the writer and director of Lost the Musical, Stephen Brandon, joins us here on camera. Hello, Stephen.
Hi.
You guys are at the Lillian Theater in Hollywood. Where the heck is that?
That is Santa Monica and Vine in Theater Row in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Very convenient. So tell us about Lost the Musical. How long have you been running?
Well, we're doing a six-week run, and we are halfway through right now. And, you know, it's the 10-year anniversary of Lost, and we all thought we have to go back. We have to visit the island. It's our favorite show.
I got to tell you, it was my favorite show at the time, but I'm not positive I have to go back.
Yeah, but you know what? I've had so many people come to see the show and go, oh, my God, I forgot about this part. I forgot about that part. I have to go watch it again. You know, rewatching a show is such fun, and, you know, now we have so much access to do things like that. But we thought, well, let's, you know, revisit the show, do it in like a two-hour musical, give you all the highlights that you loved, make fun of all the bits you didn't love.
Okay.
And then, you know, when it comes to exposition, when you need to learn about the Dharma Initiative or you need to learn about all their backstories, why don't we just do it in songs that you know and love?
Oh, I love that. So this is not a new adventure with the Lost characters. This is a retelling of the entire series on stage.
Yeah. You can go to YouTube and go with the entire Lost in 8 minutes and 15 seconds.
Right.
Well, this is the entire Lost. In 2.5 hours.
With music.
With music. And, you know, we've got songs that you already love and enjoy. And
like what?
We've rewritten the words. American Pie becomes Oceanic 815. Bye, bye, Oceanic 815. From down under when asunder when we fell from the sky. Of course, 1,000 miles because the radio died. You know, things like that.
Okay.
We also have much better singers singing at the knee.
All right.
You know, spoiler alert, one of our beloved characters drowns.
What?
And he's drowning, and the cast sing to him, don't stop breathing.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, Desmond is calling out to Penny, typing in the numbers, and we all know that the Tommy Toon song, 8675709 Jenny.
Right.
Well, we've turned that into 4815162342 Penny.
That is fantastic.
That seems a little more difficult to say, but all right. This is so bizarre.
Well, we have a cast of 16 people, and they're having such a fun time. And the comment I get from all the audience members is the cast look like they're having a great time, which makes the audience have a great time. And, you know, there are so many – you know, they're playing over 60 characters. Because the good thing about Lost is when one character dies, the actor can come back in our show and just play a different character.
Sure.
Yeah. Just slap on a different wig, slap on a different accent, and then suddenly they're in the show again.
So just tell me about the real-life Hurley, Jorge Garcia, being there the other night. Did you know ahead of time that he was coming, or was he a surprise?
We have a couple of actors in our cast who've done acting class with Jorge, and so we knew it. And I was waiting till I had two confirmations. Right. I watched, you know, when you do journalism, you've got to wait to have two confirmations that he was coming to the audience, that Jorge was coming. But we also had a big opening night gala on the 22nd, and we had Sam Anderson, who played Bernard, MC Gainey, who played Mr. Friendly, Andrea Gabriel, who played Nadia, Kimberly Joseph, who played Cindy, the Australian flight attendant. They were all in attendance. So we've had at least five Lost alums come to the show right now. We're hoping to get some more. But it was such a treat to have Jorge in the audience. He was in the front row. He was laughing his head off.
He had a great time.
And then to have our own Hurley, Ryan Grassmeyer, who plays our Hurley, to be with the real Hurley, that was just such a treat.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So when you do something like Lost, do you have to get permission? I mean, do you need to get ABC or the people who created the show to sign off to allow you to do it, or is this considered parody and anything goes?
Yeah, under parody law, pretty much anything goes. We definitely love ABC, and you know, it's subsidiaries, and we love Damon, we love Carlton, and you know, like Jorge said, this is a bit of a roast, but it's all you know, we're doing this out of love.
A lot of us watched the show Lost and loved it, but a lot of us were also frustrated by a lot of it along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those shows.
As were we, and that's why we kind of, you know, make light of that stuff. There's a lot of in-jokes. I mean, if you haven't seen Lost, you can come and watch the show, and you'll just enjoy it because it's very funny, and it's just basically like a Gilligan's Isle tale of castaways on an island. But then we have a second level of humor, which is all the Lost in-jokes. And then there's even the third level of humor, which is the behind-the-scene things. You know, when certain actors got DUIs in Hawaii, they were written on the show. You know, certain people didn't like being on Hawaii, so we make fun of all of that in the show, too. And, you know, a lot of people were not happy with the endings of Lost, which is why we have alternate endings.
You do?
Yeah, we have three alternate endings.
Well, all in one night or different nights?
Different night. People get to vote. We have a voting card, an alternate ending slip. So when you come to the show, you'll be greeted by Cindy at Oceanic Airlines, and we give you a boarding pass and wish you a safe flight, and we also give you an alternate ending card, and you can vote on the ending you'd like to see. And every night we do a different ending based on the audience's suggestions.
What are the three endings, and which one's the most popular?
Well, we've categorized them. I don't want to give them away. But there's like a 70s cartoon style ending, an 80s sci-fi movie ending, and a 90s sitcom ending. And the 80s sci-fi ending gets a lot of votes. So does the 90s sitcom. But we also love the 70s cartoon ending. So vote for the 70s cartoon ending if you come to see the show. We don't get to do it as much as we want to do it. We think it's really funny.
It's hilarious.
Scooby-Doo inspired, I'll put it that way.
What was the dog's name on Lost?
Vincent.
And do you have a Vincent? And do you have a polar bear?
We have both. It was so funny. Someone came to see the show the other day, and they're looking through the program, and they're seeing the actors, and they go, he plays Vincent. But that's the dog. And then when you see how we do Vincent, and we see how we do the polar bear, and the polar bear recurs throughout the show, it's a lot of fun.
Who's the smoke monster? Do you have that?
Yeah, I am the myself and the assistant stage manager, we play the smoke monster. We kind of do it Kabuki Dragon style.
I would think you'd have to.
Yeah, because we have some smoke effects come out. But come to see the smoke monster. Also, as Jorge said, come to see Walt. Walt was Malcolm David Kelly. He was the young boy, and they had to kick him off the show because he grew.
Yeah,
we make fun of that as well.
Yeah, he went away for the summer and came back 6'2".
Exactly.
Weird happens.
It was like Menudo.
Yeah.
You can't have him.
So we didn't want to just hire a young boy just to do one scene or two and then sit there the rest of the night. So we have a Walt puppet.
Okay.
So it's Broadway. It's musical. So we have an Avenue Q-style Walt puppet. And
is Walt the one that spoke backwards or whispered
There's a bit where he's drowning in water and he comes to, has a vision and he's kind of talking backwards.
Okay, all right.
This is fantastic. Yeah. This sounds so great, Stephen. All right, so it's right now it's only running through Sunday, October 26th at the Lillian Theater in Hollywood. What are your plans after that? With this many people and this much work, you don't want to go away after just 6 weeks.
Well, yeah. We would love to continue the show. I'm getting requests all the time on Twitter.
Hasn't Point Break been playing for years?
It has, but I think their budget's a little lower than us. They also use audience members.
Yeah,
true. You know, we have to travel a cast of 16 to wherever we want to go, and this is a very expensive show, and we've done it on a shoestring budget. We're all doing 5-6 jobs. We're doing it for the love. No one's getting paid. We're doing it for the love of the show. But we would love to get calling all producers out there to come, you know, talk to us. We're at lostthemusical@gmail.com. You know, give us some funding. We'll take it to Hawaii. We'll take it to New York. We'll make you lots of money.
Absolutely,
and we all get to go back to the island together, and we can travel with the show.
And you can change the ending.
Yeah.
Tickets
are
just $20, by the way. You're on stage Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and Sundays, right? You play 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
Tickets available just probably go to your website. It would be the easiest thing for people to remember. It's just Lost the Musical. And you're also donating some of the money back for cancer charities, which I think is wonderful.
Yes, there's a cancer charity called Cancer Gets Lost, and they recently had a big auction. And we're sponsored by Black Sparrow Auctions, who did that auction. And her name's Jo. She's in charge of the Cancer Gets Lost Foundation. And she's been a big supporter. She's actually coming to see the show on Sunday night everyone. And, yeah, we're giving 5% of ticket sales back to the community to Cancer Gets Lost.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Lisa, why haven't you been to this show yet?
Well, I only just heard about it last week.
How have you not been?
I'm handing Lisa a postcard right now and a program. And comp tickets to Lisa when she wants to come.
Thank you so much.
8 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock
on
Sunday.
Sounds amazing.
I'm going to speak for Lisa and say that she insists on paying. She will refuse your comp tickets.
We have concessions. You can get some Dharma water. We have Dharma red wine and champagne complimentary.
Excellent.
You know, get yourself a Dharma chocolate bar. It's all available.
All right.
LostTheMusical.com. You can follow them on Twitter @LostTheMusical. We've been talking to Stephen Brandon. Hey, we have a little bit of audio, I think, promoting the show. Let's hear some of that.
It's finally here. 10 years in the making. Lost the Musical.
The opening number really is what got me. Seeing Walt portrayed as the puppet really did it for me.
You get all 6 seasons of Lost and 2 spectacular hours of song, just like the TV show, only funnier and with more singing.
Don't stop.
Lost the Musical. We have to go back. Now playing at the Lillian Theater in Hollywood.
Continued success, Stephen. Sounds great, man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me
you
on.
You bet.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. There it is. A lot of listeners complaining, by the way. We're well into October, not playing enough Halloween spooks.
I'm complaining we're playing too much.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
When will you learn, Kevin?
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
This says Halloween.
No. Halloween spooks outside my window.
No.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. No. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
All right, bring it down. Bring it down a little bit.
Yeah, you know why?
So,
because this is the annoying part right here.
A couple days ago, we were having a conversation. Kevin, in particular, hates Halloween spooks.
Yeah.
It came out in 1962, and he feels like maybe it was fine at the time, but maybe it's outlived its usefulness.
But listen, I mean, they're trying to make sort of funny, scary-sounding noises. I don't know, just annoying.
Yes, that's why it's a hilarious Halloween song.
It's not hilarious. This sucks.
And then we started talking about how so many of the...
Tell me that doesn't suck.
So many of the classic Halloween songs that are considered standards are decades old. I mean, you think about Thriller, you think about Dead Man's Party, you think about Monster Mash, you know, even some of the K-Rock classics. I mean, I mentioned Boingo, but even like Halloween by AFI, that's a lot of years old by now.
Yeah.
So where are the new Halloween songs? You know, it seems like our kind of music and Halloween go hand in hand together. And I know that, you know, Rob Zombie has some songs that people sort of play and stuff, but there's no like anthem. There's no Halloween Spooks or Monster Mash for the 21st century. Where is it?
Certainly not enough options.
No.
That's what it seems like. That's what. So we said to our listeners, hey, we got a lot of very talented people out there, a lot of musicians in the audience. If you have Halloween songs, we want to hear them because maybe there's an undiscovered gem out there that we're missing. And we've gotten quite a bit of response so far, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we have.
Why do you say it like that? Haven't heard anything that's bowled you over yet?
I've listened to the songs, and we'll play some clips for you here. But if you're a musician or you have that type of talent and you know how to put together music, maybe this is your chance to make a Halloween classic. We need more good Halloween music. The first one that I have is from Jan Terry, and it's called Get Down Goblin.
Get Down Goblin. Get Down Goblin.
The thing that I enjoy about this is, A, it's disco, and B, it was recorded on a cassette tape in 1978.
Right,
it was recorded on cassette.
cassette tape from a distance of about 45 feet behind a wall,
yeah,
too, by the way.
Not the best.
I would like to hear a clean version of that. I still think
that
though,
is the
that
clean version of that. That's the best.
Oh, that is. Okay.
I think it's the best version there is.
All right, that's probably not going to cut it then.
This is Revancha Ska and Diablo.
Okay.
We've heard enough of that, right?
Okay,
that's
thank
not
going to
be the next classic.
It's no Monster Mash, but thank you for sharing it. We appreciate
it. The Spazzies doing Zombie Girl.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. Yeah. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Remember a few years ago when Blink 182 came out with their Christmas song, their I Won't Be Home for Christmas,
right,
and
yeah,
it was had kind of had that same kind of feel and really kind of became a thing that we still play every year. I like that.
Talking about the new Halloween music. This is W145 and the song is called Halloween Night. Some of the early songs that we're getting are ones that already existed. And we're done sort of in a time when they didn't have the technology that we have now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's such easy, great technology to make music now. Maybe we could get somebody to use that and make a song about Halloween.
I like that last song.
This is Amy Blackwell, and it's Ghosts and Ghouls.
An empty house, or so you think, it's dark in the night. No one hears you scream, oh, bats in the trees, and ghosts and ghouls and thieves.
Now that, that's the guide vocal track. Let's hear the real version that she recorded, though.
That's the real version.
That's the warm-up, the practice. Mm. But let me hear the final version, if you don't mind.
There, that was it. There was a guy in Las Vegas, and I'm not sure if this is him or not, but he used to go by the name of Cookie Jar.
Okay.
That was his nickname or whatever. And he had a weird show that he would put on like in the middle of some type of a lobby somewhere.
And he was a singer, a performer?
Yes. And he would wear like an Elvis cape. I don't know. I barely remember. He had his shirt unbuttoned all the way down to his pants. He had the gold chains. I don't know if this is that guy, but it's Mr. Cookie Jar and the Chocolate Cookie Chips. And the name of the song is Halloween Every Night.
Now it's Halloween time, baby.
Jack-o'-lanterns, pumpkin pie. Ringing doorbells for a sweet bite. Trick or treat or a great big fright. I wish Halloween was every night.
All right, I'm going to say this now, having heard that again. It is not the Cookie Jar from Vegas.
Okay.
That's a different guy.
Whole different guy. Okay, now one final song. And then we're going to make a plea. If you can make music, make us some Halloween classics. We would like to have more music to play because every year it gets down to Halloween spooks and bean, and most of our audience love it and I hate it and we argue over it and we don't have any other choices.
Yep.
We don't have any other choices. This is my
favorite.
Until
this one came in.
This is my favorite. This is McCall Britt. And McCall recorded this song with a Casio keyboard when he was 10.
And he's sending this to us now as an adult, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He was 10 years old when he made the song Two Eyeballs. And here it is. I'm in, right? Is everybody in? Just the production values alone are awesome. Lyrics.
Yes.
Is that the best song you've ever heard?
Yes, it is.
He did that when he was 10. So email us, get a hold of us if you can. You can get a hold of us through the website. Our email addresses are on there. You can tweet us links to songs or whatever. But we would like... like more classics, more songs perhaps like that one to go to.
I think Two Eyeballs is the one to beat for sure.
That's right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Our friend Anel Rivers, who was, I believe, the very first black Kevin and Bean listener all those years ago. When did you start listening to the show, Anel?
Wrong mic, my bad. I began listening to the Kevin and Bean show my freshman year of high school, which would be 1990.
We were forced on him, to be honest, for a while.
Before he finally started. Shout out to my man, Jeff Vallejos. He used to stick me in the back of his Mustang, and I had to listen to, like, I was like, what in the hell?
Oh, you must have hated the geeky white boys coming out of your radio. You must have hated that.
At the time, it was either you or John London in the house party.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
By the way, as bad as we are now, we were way worse then.
Yeah, and the music was a lot different back in 1990.
It was a Depeche Mode world, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pre-grunge, post-Depeche Mode, Duran Duran. You know, I still can't tell the difference between Duran Duran and Depeche Mode. I have no idea which is which. I really
don't. Okay, they're very different, but okay.
Anything alike.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
It's a black thing. It's all right.
Well, we appreciate very much all of the years of support, and it's nice every once in a while we get a chance to have you in here and fill it in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. What sounder do we use between stories for now?
I like your doorbell. The sound that you have for your doorbell up there at the house up there in Seattle. You ever heard Bean's doorbell? You ever Bean's doorbell?
I don't know if we've heard it in a while.
Yeah, play that for him.
Have you been to his house?
Oh, Beans?
Yeah.
He doesn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Do you have your doorbell available, Bean, or no?
Apparently, every time I'm on vacation, Adele is here visiting the wife. I don't think I do have my doorbell anymore.
Well, this is what we usually use. But Adele doesn't like that. He likes when Bean tries to black it up with this.
Girl, holla! Is that Bean? Is that Iggy Azalea? I can't tell
that the difference. That is Bean. For reals.
For real. Good times. Well, I have great news, ladies and gentlemen. Great, great, great news.
Okay.
The Walking Dead, which, by the way, as you know, returns this Sunday.
Is it this Sunday?
This Sunday.
Oh, that's such good news.
They're in Terminus. And, basically, the Walking Dead has been renewed for a sixth season.
Yay!
The kids love zombies.
They love the Walking Dead.
They love them to death. So, yes, I'll be very excited to see Rick and Tina and
Is there a Tina?
Bobby.
I don't know Bobby.
Mike?
I don't know Mike.
Do you not watch this show?
I know, I watched The Walking Dead.
There's a Daryl and a Glenn.
Y'all be killing off black folks in The Walking Dead.
Tyrese is still on the show.
Barely. Tyrese. You know what it is, man. It's like
Michonne is still on the show.
Michonne is on the show.
Yeah, she's kick-ass.
She is kick-ass. Yeah. I'll give you Michonne. So she makes up for, like, the 19 other black cast members that have died in the last 5 years.
In all fairness, there's been thousands of white people that have died as well.
I'll give you that. Okay. And you know what they do? They're also very good about not having black zombies. Because,
if
somebody gets stabbed in the face, like a white dude, stab a black zombie in the face on TV, it's going to be problems.
It's going to be problematic. All right, so it comes back Sunday. That's good news.
Sunday, and then season 6, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Girl, holla! Next up, did anybody check out Jimmy Fallon the other night?
I'm a Kimmel guy. I don't watch Fallon.
You know what? I like Kimmel as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, but I tell you what, he does that You series where he does the celebrities come on, they do the little
song. He dresses up like a little girl.
Who doesn't like dressing up like a little girl?
He dresses up like a little girl.
He does dress up like a little girl. Kevin, I've seen you on the internet dressed up like a girl.
And I look worse than he does. That's a good point.
So, you know, you got to get a little
point
here.
Anel.
Thank you. You got a clip of EU for me, man? You want to find it up? Let me find it up for me.
Sally's going to get implagues.
What's implagues?
Implants, silly.
Yeah.
I'm freaking Pharrell. I think silicone butts are L.
Where'd she got that alpha?
L. That girl is totally ratchet.
L. No, seriously, who likes that?
Right, L.
Look at the way she takes pass.
And what's up with those duck lips?
Easy E's so glad he's dead right now.
Yeah.
Seriously, like hip hop, it went left somewhere. I don't know where it went. Will I Am? Like,
was he on that?
He's the other one doing the ew.
Or ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Will I Am, second most non-threatening black man in the world behind myself.
Oh, please.
Good time. But you know, I like Jimmy Fallon. I'm okay with the fact that he's on and he's doing his show and everything.
Fine with me.
What do we gotta do to get you guys on there?
On what?
A Kevin and Bean ew. Come on.
I think we both hate it.
No, but that's the point. You guys would be like so good at it, man. I've already seen you dressed up as a woman, and I already know Bean is sexy. I've seen his legs. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine Bean with a little wig on and the Harry Potter glasses going, ew?
I would give anything for that. But I think Bean hates it more than I do.
I don't mind Jimmy Fallon, but that sketch just drives me up a wall.
Now, what if Taylor Swift asked you to do it with her, Bean? Would you do it then?
He'd say yes, and then he would not do it.
Yeah, probably so.
That's how Bean rolls.
Good times, good times.
Holla!
Hey, man, any of y'all been checking out Dancing with the Stars, you know, this season? I know you guys are huge fans. You guys had all the you know, they gave the show all the push and promo when it came out.
Well, when they came out, we did tell the executive producer that it would be a complete failure. And
you
told
the executive producer of the biggest show in America that he was an idiot. I remember
that happened.
And who was right there in the situation?
Not us.
And that's why they make the big bucks over there. so basically, you know, Alfonso Ribeiro, a fellow Panamanian, I might add, you know, Orgullo Panamanio, he is on Dance with the Stars this season. And last night, my man broke out the Carlton dance.
Did he?
Yeah, you guys remember the Carlton dance?
Sure.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, the Tom Jones. So
but yeah, that's really why they invited him to be a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, is just for that moment.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he's gone next week, no doubt. But but he got 4 stars, which, I mean, you know, I don't know how, if you guys, you know, watch.
I don't know. Is that good?
That's excellent.
Do they get stars?
That's like the best you can get, like, in the
really?
School. It's a perfect 10, essentially. You know what I'm saying?
So all right.
He went out there, and he got, you know what I'm saying, his little Oreo ass out there. Did the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I was impressed to see the fact that in 2014, Carlton is still relevant. I don't know if you guys remember, but.
That might be an exaggeration, but go
ahead.
Well,
I mean, he's relevant. He was on my TV, and I can see him, and my kids know who he is, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Sort of, kind of. But yeah, I was impressed. So shout out to Carlton, man. I hope you do well in Dance with the Stars. Good times. So next up, we've got
Girl Holla!
Some releases today. Today is Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the day Bean drives around all of Seattle looking for the cheapest CDs and DVDs possible.
He'll drive 100 miles to save 99 cents.
That makes sense, though, because gas is so cheap now.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a couple of releases here you might want to check out. For CDs, I've got Everything Will Be All Right in the End by Weezer. By the way, I rented Everything Will Be All Right in the End.
That is not the same thing, I don't think, because this is just out today.
Ah, okay, yeah. Okay. Well, the two shirtless guys in the box should have gave me these.
Weezer is going to be on Kimmel tonight as
Are
well.
They? Yes. Nice. I'm going to definitely check that out. Right. We got a Lift Sail by Yellow Card. You know what I'm saying? Go on and check them out. You guys remember Yellow Card from back in the day. We've got Resurrection by one of my favorite bands, Newfound Glory, man. I like them. I like them a lot.
All right.
We've also got Ask Me to Dance by Minnie Driver.
What?
Minnie Driver makes music?
She does, and I heard it, and it sounds great.
Really?
What? Bean, have you heard it?
Yes. I've not heard this album. I've heard some of her other... She can sing. She absolutely can sing.
I had no idea. I'm not really a big fan of, like, when the actresses start singing.
But she's been doing it for years.
Really? Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow came out with that CD a couple years ago.
Yeah, right.
Queen Latifah had hers, and I'm like, yeah.
But there are a lot of actresses, like Katie Seagal is a perfect example, who worked as a musician and a singer for years before she even became an actress. So sometimes they, you know, they go back and revisit their first love.
Hey, I've always wondered, now, is she related to Steven in any chance? Steven Seagal, Katie Seagal?
No.
I've always wondered that. I've heard the names.
Not even a little bit.
Spelled the same.
Dotto will be crushed.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Good size. And for DVDs, we've got To Be Takai. Lisa.
Yes.
I heard you do a phenomenal George Takai impression.
No, I don't do a George Takai.
You don't? I've heard it's a magnificent impression. You don't do a George Takai? Oh, that's
where did you hear that?
That's disappointing. It's all in the rumor mill. They all tell me that if I want to hear a great George Takai to come in and ask Lisa to do a George Takai
impression.
I think
we did a bit once, Lisa, where you were playing his sister.
Oh, yeah, Lika.
Lika.
Lika Takai. That's
I
right.
Think so.
Okay, that's step one. I remember
you know how George Takai sounds. Let's have it.
And
come on.
No, I don't.
Let's go.
And what's the word he uses?
Dance,
I don't even
monkey.
Remember that.
Well, he does laugh
He's Oh My is who he is.
Oh,
he's
my.
Oh My.
Oh My.
That was.
One more time.
Wait, I remember. Oh My. Ha, ha.
Uh-huh. There it is.
Uh-huh. Ooh, took the long way to that.
There it is. Sure
did. Glad you brought that up, Anel.
little heads up.
All right. Only 15 minutes between question and answer.
I'm rusty.
Right.
So, okay, I'll give you guys some heads up next
time.
I just want to say that George Takai, if you guys don't like follow him on Twitter or on Facebook,
he's hilarious.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he is hilarious. You guys should definitely check him out.
Don't follow him on Twitter.
And the vitriol of William Shatner hate is never ending. So
good.
It's always good to watch. You've also got Sharknado 2, the second one. Yeah, starring. Is it now? You know what's one? Is it Ian Ziering or Ian Ziering?
Ian Ziering.
Okay, I've always wanted that. You know, I see the names. I'm not real good with vowels, man. You know how I am.
Sure.
I'm with the public school, though.
Sure.
So, you know, we've also got Million Dollar Arm starring John Hamm. I actually saw this one. This is the one about a guy who goes to India looking for, like, the next big pitching sensation.
And is this based on a true story or no?
I think it is.
It is. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
I believe it is. And, I mean, I'd have to imagine that once you get through wading through all of the poverty and, like, you know, like the feces fields or whatnot, there's probably a kid up there with a nice rocket. So.
Sure.
Well, I mean, the idea was that there are lots of terrific athletes out there who have never been exposed to baseball. Let's go find one and teach him the game. I mean, that was the mission. And the guy that they ended up hiring ended up playing in the major leagues for a couple of years. But, you know, so it sort of worked.
Worked on Puig. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, he seems like, he's see. Like, seemed like he only
plays. But he grew up with baseball in Cuba. I'm saying these were people in India who had never
did
heard
he?
Of
Aren't
it.
They?
Yeah, they were cricket. Yeah.
I couldn't tell with Puig, judging by the amount of fielding errors and whatnot and running errors that he has. It seems like he played, grew up playing stickball, you know, I mean, like in a dirty field somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? So I've always wondered, like, how does that work with the transition between, like, cricket and baseball and what have you? That'd be interesting, though. So check that out on DVD. We've also got A Million Ways to Die in the West, starring our very own Ralph Garman and his mustache. Let me tell you guys, Ralph's pet mustache steals the show.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Charlize Theron, forget her.
How dare you,
Seth MacFarlane, forget her. Right. Okay, Ralph's mustache is all I want to see in that movie. Okay,
right.
It is phenomenal. And when he gets back, I have a plan on getting an autograph from his mustache.
Okay,
okay.
Good luck with that because I think it's got its own trailer now.
It should. And of course, last but not least, we've got The Edge of Tomorrow, which, by the way, poorly named movie which has two bad titles. Really, do you ever get that? It's called Edge of Tomorrow in the theaters.
Right.
But if you go home right now and look on your on-demand, on whatever system you have, it's called Live, Die, Repeat, which I don't understand.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. Go home when you get home. You go home right now. You know.
And here's something else, and I know people don't trust my movie taste. It's pretty good.
I liked it.
It was really pretty good.
It.
I was surprised by how good it was.
Super loud.
It is loud.
Super loud. So I know you loved it. You know what I mean? Like, basically the whole, like, first 40 minutes is just noise.
It's pretty good.
You know what I mean? Before it gets into the plot there. Next up, I got some celebrity birthdays.
Holla!
Celebrity birthdays. I'm going to go from the bottom list to the top. We got actress Holland Roden, Lydia from Teen Wolf. She's 28. She's probably going to do a EU pretty soon, too. She's very, very young, you know, teenish. She like that. We got a comedian, Tim Minchin, 39. Radiohead singer Tom York is 46. Tony Braxton is 47. Give me that bell. Yeah, that's a good bell. You got singer John Krug Mellencamp is 63, and you got talk show host Joy Behar is 72. Thank you very much for having me in, folks. I really did enjoy my time here. Hey, listen, when you guys get home, let me tell you what you do. Go to your Twitter, you type in Anel, that's A-N-E-L, and if you can't spell Rivers, we don't need to be friends.
Yeah.
And tweet me and let me know how you think I did it. If I suck, tell me, and I'll send something back to you very vulgar. And if you like me, then tell me also, and I'll retweet it and do something nice.
There you
that's
go.
How it works. Thank
Thanks
you very much for your time.
It.
Hey, it's my pleasure, y'all. I'll see you guys next time Ralph gets a job.
By the way, we haven't given away the UCLA football tickets
yet,
have we? We suck. We have two winners. We have two winners. A pair of tickets to see UCLA football against the Oregon Ducks. It's October 11th at the Rose Bowl. Get your tickets now at UCLABruins.com or be callers 1 and 2 at 1-800-520.
But wait. You have to quack like a duck when you call for Chip.
What?
Just because her shift's almost over and I want to give her the last 5 minutes of hard time.
Okay. Good. 1-800-520-1067. The first two callers that quack like a
duck. Quack like,
like a duck. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have marriage proposals gone wrong. I don't know if you saw this dude that hired a hot air balloon down by San Diego.
Ooh.
It ended up in the ocean.
Ooh.
And she said yes. What the hell? Like, shouldn't that be a red flag?
Yeah, we're never going to live that one down.
Brand new internet roundup. More tickets for you to see UCLA football this weekend. That's coming up tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.